on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Tom Bubert. The nation still has a long way to go in guarding against more terrorist strikes on U.S. soil. That's what Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge told a congressional panel today. Ridge's comments come amid a new alert issued by the FBI to law enforcement agencies throughout the country. They warn of likely terrorist attacks here in the U.S. In Saudi Arabia, the threat of an imminent attack has led to the closing of U.S. missions in the Gulf state until at least May 25th. President Bush has spoken with the newly installed Palestinian prime minister in an effort to keep the region's roadmap for peace on track amid intensified violence. The White House describes the phone call between the two leaders as friendly and hopeful. Democratic senator and presidential hopeful John Kerry took President Bush to task today. He criticized Bush for landing on the USS Abraham Lincoln when he was thanking the troops returning home from Iraq amid a sluggish economy.
And I can't wait to remind this country that landing on an aircraft carrier with a Navy pilot doesn't make up for the lack of an economic plan or a security plan for the United States of America.
Kerry says he would provide every American with, quote, choices that are strong and right at the same time. He joined a number of other Democratic hopefuls earlier today in Washington, D.C. for the annual Emily's List Majority Council Conference. There, they each presented arguments for electing them to the White House in November. Terry Nichols is expected to enter a plea today on state murder charges stemming from the Oklahoma City bombing. Nichols has been ordered to stand trial on 162 counts of murder for his role in the bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building. He's currently serving a federal life sentence for the killing of eight federal agents in that blast. President Bush calling for common sense legislation managing forest lands as the U.S. enters the fire season. Bush said today controlled burns, the clearing of underbrush, and the thinning of some areas are methods to successfully manage lands vulnerable to blazes. Internet users are being warned of a new computer virus disguising itself as a message from Microsoft Support Services. The computer worm is able to email itself using the addresses on your computer if you open it.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Powell, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer's got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol.
Yes, Miss Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dent is strong, so the pain is gone.
Health and Human Services Secretary Tommy Thompson says by the end of this year, Europe and the United States are likely to see deaths from the SARS virus. So far, it's killed nearly 700 people across the globe. A vast number of pregnant women may suffer from depression, but a new study suggests few are getting help for it. Researchers from the University of Michigan conducted interviews with nearly 3,500 pregnant women and found 20% scored high on a survey of depression symptoms. Yet less than 14% were getting any counseling, drugs, or other treatment. The findings appear in the Journal of Women's Health.
John, there's something I must tell you. I want to be free.
Oh, Helen, you want to be free with the wind in your hair, life without care?
No, I want to be free of those overnight laxatives that give me cramps.
You want Freelax, the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just two caplets.
Oh, John, I just wish everything could be that dependable.
Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives. Laxative, look for it in the bright green box. Use only as directed.
On Wall Street, stocks are up. Weirton Steel of West Virginia has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. CEO John Walker made the announcement to employees during a news conference at the mill. He blamed skyrocketing costs, competition, and illegal dumping of foreign steel as major reasons for the filing. He promised the move will not affect over $760 million in retiree pensions. A lawsuit filed against the world's second-largest cruise operator claims passengers were cheated. The suit names two Florida women as plaintiffs. It charges Royal Caribbean added $150 million in phony taxes to passenger bills to compensate for cheap fares. An attorney says the practice began in early 2001 and still continues. He's seeking class action status for the suit filed in state court in Miami. Thousands of doctors from across New York State are taking part in marches today against rising insurance premiums. Protests are scheduled at 21 sites from eastern Long Island to Niagara Falls. This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Tom. I'm Bubert.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Life in a fishbowl. No, not in an aquarium. The behaviors of these specimens were observed while they were driving their cars. When we come back, I'll tell you what you've been doing on the road.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Stretch limos with tinted windows aside. What we do while driving is on display for everyone to see. And according to an Exxon poll of 1,000 drivers, our top three favorite activities are 1 in 5 of us flirt with other drivers. Another 40% actually reach out and touch someone with our cell phones. And the number one private activity that 70% of us perform for public view is the ever-popular eating. Now that gives dining and dashing a whole new meaning. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werbe Show. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Well, thank you very much. Welcome, everybody. And my partner, Jalene Jordan, will be with us in just 1 second. I'm in Detroit, Michigan, the headquarters of the IE America Radio Network. And if you go to commondreams.org, if you're on the Internet, you can see one of our hosts, Tom Hartman's article today. Well, what did I do with it now? It's called, I don't even have it right in front of me.
It's called Move On Over, Right Wing Radio. The liberals are coming.
You're in Jalene Jordan. I'm here in Detroit, Michigan, our headquarters, our network headquarters, Jalene Jordan in Florida. And Shar, our engineer, is she up enough? It sounded a little quiet in the background.
I'm here.
Yo, there you go. There you go. Yeah, you know, it's a ratings period, so we're going to have to pump up the ratings.
Oh, is it that time again? What are we supposed to do now?
Sex and drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what do you mean?
Rock and roll?
No. Well, just sex and drugs. That always pumps the ratings
up.
We will get to sex and drugs if we can get through terrorism and what's happening in Israel, this economy that continues to go south, and our civil liberties going away, and lots of other stuff like that.
We have a few things to do. Hey, Peter, you have to let us know how it was last night with Mike Farrell, actor, activist Mike Farrell. You went to a little gathering with him.
Yeah, Mike Farrell actually spoke at our joint union meeting of the Screen Actors Guild and the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists. Hopefully, we're going to merge and have a much stronger union. And these aren't just things that affect us, because it really affects the viewers and listeners as well, because these producers, the owners, they're doing in our industry what is happening in every other industry, going to the bottom line, trying to break unions. A lot of it has to do a lot of technical stuff of going from tape to digital, and lots of other issues. But Mike Farrell, best known for Providence, his starring role, and also in the
best
old series
MASH,
MASH. And you said you didn't know he did movies, right?
No, I knew he did movies.
Oh, Marilyn, my wife said,
oh, okay.
Yeah. No, he actually, his first role, and why he joined my union, AFTRA, is he was on the old Arthur Godfrey show in the 50s as he had a gorilla suit on. So Mike Farrell is very tall.
He's very tall.
Very tall.
We all start somewhere, right?
Yeah, so that's where he started, and that's why he joined my union. So he does a lot of speaking around the country, and he was speaking here in Michigan, and he kind of piggybacked onto helping
this meeting, huh?
Yeah, this meeting to encourage all of us members of SAG and AFTRA. Now, the real resistance to this is in some of the right-wing actors, you know, I don't know if they're
the Bruce Willis's and
I don't know if Bruce Willis, actually. I shouldn't put that on.
Arnold.
Yeah, I don't know if Arnold is against it, but
I didn't know there were a lot of right-wing actors.
There's a few. We named a couple. Yeah.
You know, and let's put that out. Does anyone call in or write in with actors or entertainers you know who are to the right. I'd be interested in knowing.
There's a website, and actually it is on my website at peterwerbe.com, P-E-T-E-R-W-E-R-B-E. And oh, yeah, I actually do have it right here, at least my website. And one of the sites lists liberal liberal actors and what have you. So, and I think sometimes they mention right-wing ones as well. Let's see. Also, yes, at 33 minutes after this hour, it's Russell McIver. And he's a very interesting guy. I've read so much of him. We've had him on before, haven't we?
You know,
partner, Robert Weissman.
I think we've had Robert Weissman on. And I think Russell McIver's been on, but I think it's been so long,
yeah,
almost
like
3 years.
Yeah, I was going to say. He's the editor of the Washington, D.C.-based Corporate Crime Reporter. You can go to corporatecrimereporter.com. And what I think is so interesting, I believe this is a weekly, I will ask him, but there is so much corporate crime that they can put out a whole journal just listing it. And it's not just an expose. It actually, I think, works for, those people in that sector, you know, the corporate sector as well. They're interested in who's getting busted and what have you.
Like a trade.
Now, if you go again to commondreams.org, you can see regularly these reports of Russell McIver's interchanges with Ari Fleischer.
Called Ari and I, White House Briefing. And they are a hoot. Russell McIver has given Ari Fleischer the toughest time out of any of them.
Well, that's easy,
consistently,
though.
Consistently. And he's really stood up to Ari. And Ari just, the final one's on there because now Ari Fleischer is going to spend time with his family.
Yeah, and corporations.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
He's going to spend time with his family.
There you go. There you go. Well, Russell McIver in this one asks Ari Fleischer, are you resigning as a matter of conscience because you can't take the lies of George W. Bush anymore? But we'll save all of this. And I think, this is what I want to ask Russell McIver. It seems like Ari Fleischer just despises Russell McIver. Now, but, you know, a lot of times there's this kind of bizarre little symbiotic relationship because you're in the same room and it's fun sparring. For all we know, maybe they go and get a drink together after.
Who knows? I'm kind of doubting it. But deep down, Ari probably knows that Russell is smarter than him.
Smarter, yeah.
You know, and has his back.
Well, here's some more good news about my drink last night after the meeting. Then that's where it all happens. You know, we get the drinks after the meeting with...
You were partying with Mike Farrell?
Yeah, yeah. Although I think he was beginning to fade. He was still on West Coast time. Actually, that would make him more up and ready to party, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Well, depends.
Yeah, because it was earlier.
Schedule, right.
In any event, I talked to him about the value on progressive radio of having, I forgot, he didn't want to say stars. I mean, he's a very, very modest man, even though he has.
He is. Modest, soft-spoken.
Mm-hmm.
What a great guy.
Just seemed like a genuinely nice guy. Had a nice word for everybody. A lot of people came up to him, as we know, kind of starstruck. And I mean, he really wants to just be a union brother and sister in that.
He really does.
In that context, particularly. You know, here we were. We're all equal members of the, you know, the same unions. So he was very nice to everybody. And I talked, I said, one of the troubles that we have on this broadcast, because Jillian Jordan, don't get embarrassed, but you're certainly the best producer I've had in, you know, a few decades of doing, talk radio.
Oh.
And getting through that maze of how do you find people? Well, since a lot of people don't want to be found, they put up all these barriers.
Oh, and they're out there. They put the barriers up for me. But.
Yeah. So we now have a contact, as Mike said. Well, gee, here are the people to contact. Because remember we were saying in this run-up to Bush's illegal and needless war against Iraq, weapons of mass destruction, hello, where are you? They're on a milk carton. You know, that's what they say. You know, if you see me, please call George W. Bush. In any event, so much has been formed around opposition to the war, and one of the things that was formed was this group called Artists United for Victory Without War, part of the MoveOn.org organization. So now we have, courtesy of Mike Farrell, I think we're going to have a lot more access. So we'll get the celebs on.
Well, usually the shows that have the big access are the big shows.
Sure.
And I mean, I know we're big, but there are so much bigger fish
out there. Well, one of the things that he and I talked about, it's in a sense unfortunate that anybody would listen to Mike Farrell any more than a caller, right? I mean, we should all have this equal standing in the world in which we inhabit when decisions are being made. I mean, there shouldn't be big shots and small fry, because that's not democratic.
Right.
That's authoritarian. But and he kind of sadly said, yeah, unfortunately, it's the case. If you have Richard Dreyfuss on, like we had before, people go, oh, wow, man, Richard Dreyfuss is on, and he's saying yada, yada. And if you have, you know, Jim from Tulsa saying the same thing, people go, oh, yeah, okay, you know.
But I know. It's true.
It's an ugly fact of life. So Russell McIver, I guess this doesn't follow. This is totally Russell McIver on talking about his last confrontation with Ari Fleischer.
Yeah, and his last, well, not his last article, but and he has an article that kind of highlights all of that on commondreams.org. You can see it right under Tom Hartman's article.
Really? I missed that.
Yeah, it's
I'll
right
have
there.
To go back.
With Russell McIver and Robert Weissman writing together. Ari should have resigned in protest, it says.
I'll have to look at that in the next 8 minutes.
or 18 minutes.
Yeah. Our colleague, Mike Malloy, on the IE America Radio Network, he always refers to Ari Fleischer as the pencil neck geek.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot.
Now, partly, one has to know a bit in order to follow these things. And I can't remember where pencil neck geek comes from.
I don't know. He reminds me of my brother-in-law, though. Have I ever told you
Mike
that?
Malloy?
No, Ari Fleischer.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I wish. I wish Mike Malloy. Anyway.
And we'll ask Russell McIver about the Ari Fleischer fan club, that people that think, I hate even this phrase, but that
he's hot.
That he's a hottie.
You like that phrase.
No, I think
you like it.
I hate it. Well, you know, they talk about you got to walk that walk.
Sure.
Can you believe this? I know you can because you put it up on our website at ieamericaradio.com that the Pentagon system is hoping to identify the way people walk.
Okay, and then I just went right back to 1984.
That's right. Watch your step, it says here in an Associated Press release. And I was going to say this is from the Guardian of London, but I did hear this on our local news here in Detroit. Watch your step. The Pentagon is developing a radar-based device that can identify people by the way they walk for use in a new anti-terrorism surveillance system. It operates on the theory that an individual's walk is as unique as a signature and that it's they're financing a research project through the Pentagon at the Georgia Institute of Technology.
Yeah. Oh, scary.
You know what's scary about it? Not even, I mean, part of it is that it sets us up for the completely surveilled society, that we take it for granted that we're going to be under, you're right. Actually, you are right, Jolene Jordan. That is the scariest thing about it, that it is part of this transformation from this free and open society into this one that's constantly under surveillance.
Right. I mean, it goes back, remember when everyone was all up in arms about the Super Bowl, when they had the imaging, people going through and doing all of those checks, background checks and things like that. That was scary. Now it's just kind of opening up even more.
And really what it is, though, it's all part of the racket. And if you're just joining the broadcast, we are now increasingly dropping the phrase economic system and political system, or American political system and American economic system, and simply calling it the racket, because that's what it is. And who are the suckers that are being conned and fleeced? It's you and me, folks, because we are the only ones that are paying the freight, the average taxpayer. And we're not getting any tax relief under Bush's giveaway to the wealthy either. So government documents, according to this article, reviewed by the Associated Press, show that scores of major defense contractors and prominent universities applied last year for the first research contract to design and build the surveillance and analysis system of how you walk. So this is the open pork barrel. This is, you know, that analogy from the old South when they would wanted you to vote. They just bring up this big barrel of pork. And you can that's what it means.
I remember this.
Yeah. And this is under DARPA, this Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. And these are the ones that, the agency under this criminal, the retired Admiral John Poindexter.
I was going to say, which one was that?
Yeah. He had his his conviction overturned. I don't know. But they were the ones that were going to surveil our email systems as well, right?
Oh, yeah.
So now it's just our walk. But essentially what it is this enormous transfer of private wealth, yours and mine, through the government who loots us and turning it over to these pork barrel entrepreneurs who are using our fears, manipulating our fears of terrorism to get wealthy. We get poor. We have no health system. The roads are crappy. Schools are falling apart. Class size 40. All right, your calls when we come back. I'm Peter Werby. Jalene Jordan's with me as well. Join us. 1-800-TALK-YES.
I can't go on anymore. I want to be free.
You want to be free of Hollywood, the glamour, the fame?
No. I want to be free of overnight liquid laxatives that taste like I'm drinking chalk.
Well, that's easy, baby. Take Freelax. It's the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just two caplets.
Ooh, are you sure I'll be free of constipation before my early morning flight to the coast?
Depend on it. Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives. Laxative.
Oh, Max.
Use only as directed.
Right turn, right turn, right turn, right turn, back to the dealership. That's a typical test drive. Now, GM introduces the 24-hour test drive. Bring home a GM car or truck. Keep it overnight. See how it fits in your garage. See how it fits in your life. For more information and to locate a participating dealer, click to gm.com/24-hour. You must be 21 and be an insured licensed driver with approved credit.
Well, I'm asleep on it. I'll give you an answer in the morning.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Tired of the same old conservative blather on talk radio? Want a different slant on politics in the world than what's offered up by right-wing wacko talk show hosts? Then join me, Peter Werby, 2 to 5 p.m. It's my new time. That's Eastern Time. Weekdays for an alternative not often heard on the AM band. If you want to hear a talk show host that opposes Bush's wars, challenges corporate rule, defends the interests of working people, the environment, and a woman's right to choose, then join me, Peter Werby, in my new time slot, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
Don't sweat the petty stuff and don't pet the sweaty stuff.
How's that for sage advice?
Well, it's better than being called stupid and immoral all morning long, isn't it?
Join me, Nancy Skinner, for Radio Evolution. It's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, a program where we discuss our problems and how to solve them in a positive way without having to disown your in-laws, give up your career goals, and generally alienate everybody you know.
That's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
We're back. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call Peter at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thanks a lot. Welcome back. Jalene Jordan, welcome back as well.
Thank you.
Remember a little earlier we were talking about right-wing actors and saying there's not too many of them. The site I'm looking for, in fact, I found it on my website, is Liberal Artists liberalartist.com.
Okay.
Liberalartist.com. And you go to my website, peterwerbe.com, last name W-E-R-B-E, and they list, they have lots of articles about all the liberal artists and actor activists. And then they always have conservative hack as well. And this one is, I'm not sure what it's all about, but it's Mel Gibson, who's this kind of like right-wing religious wacko now, it turns out. That's too bad. I like him.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But would you boycott his movie because he's a right-winger, a right-wing religious wacko?
I don't
wacko?
Really like his movies anyway, so I could do that with ease.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I wouldn't go see, what was that crop circles thing?
Oh.
Which turned out to be kind of religious. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Whatever. Here's Kodak in Pennsylvania. Kodak, it's Peter Werbe and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK. Yes, welcome.
Yes, good evening. How are you two doing today?
Good evening. Kodak. You must have had a long night, Kodak.
Actually, I'm just coming off vacation again.
Okay.
But nice. I called because I want to sign up to be the first one to test to see whether or not I can fool the new imaging machine, because I'm sure the people that are out here perpetrating crimes will find ways to elude being detected by your walk, since it's so inherent to each individual.
Yeah.
Individual person's
you know, the only
walk
thing,
pattern.
Right, the only thing I didn't get to, Kodak, about this surveillance system being put together by the Pentagon to determine your unique walk is that it's already $1 million, right? That's the
right.
That's the racket. That's the racket part of it.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, like I said, we are just so gullible. I mean, because I do a little imitation of a person with some type of an affiliate of a little impairment. And you can't tell that I don't really have an impairment.
What?
You know, if I'm doing a comedy skit, not a comedy skit, but imitating someone with a physical impairment, which may not be politically correct, you cannot tell that I do not have an impairment, a physical impairment myself.
Whatever.
So how can an imaging machine...
Oh,
know
I
whether or not we are faking.
I get what you're saying. It's like in Young Frankenstein, walk like this. So you kind of
right.
walk with a limp.
Walk this way.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right. Walk this way. Yeah.
Yeah, just how gullible are the American people that they think that this is actually can work.
You know what, Kodak? I don't think it's even so much gullibility. Did you know, by the way, Kodak, that the word gullible is not in the dictionary? No, okay.
Don't do it.
okay.
Guys, I'm enjoying your show today.
All right.
Thank you.
That is the joy of coming back to work. I get to listen to you all the time.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Kodak.
Yeah, have a good one now.
Thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES.
Kodak's a hoot.
I try that from time to time, right?
Yeah, you try it and you forget that you try it with me and you keep trying it.
Yeah, do I?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a few times over the years.
Hey, this thing about these essentially what's going to turn out to be billions of dollars of pigs at the trough, you know, that is that under this aegis of terrorism, of having to defend ourselves at every turn against a terrorist threat real, and they're out there, right? We know that. It's not like these guys are fooling around, and now we've had all these alerts, and they're talking about going back to an orange alert. And I thought this invasion of Iraq, this illegal invasion, this unnecessary, needless invasion, no weapons of mass destruction, I thought this was supposed to make us safer from terrorism.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Well, it's preposterous, though, because since Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with terrorism or September 11th, then how is that going to make us safer? In fact, everything that the left, everything that the anti-war people said, every critic, and that includes some people on the right as well, said about Iraq is turning out to be true.
It is. Those weapons of mass discussion. Ooh, I goofed it up.
I like
that. Weapons of mass discussion. That's from a listener.
Really?
Yeah.
I like that. And, you know, the old one, weapons of mass diversion.
Love that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And weapons of mass distraction.
Oh, yeah, that's the good one. Hey, we were talking yesterday about a name for the Bush mob, the Bush gang, and we had a lot of them. Today, though, it's about, let me see, what is this? Name for Bush's economic system, Surge Up Economics. I'm not sure what that is. All right, we're going to be back with Russell McIver, and it's about Ari and I. He talked with Ari Fleischer at almost every press conference. We'll find out what that's all about now that Ari is gone, and whew, good riddance.
This is the house that Jack built.
Daddy, faster!
The tree house. These are the 12 planks of wood Jack carried. The 200 nails he hammered. The broken ladder he climbed. And And this is the back pain and the neck pain Jack had until he tried Thermacare. 8 hours of penetrating heat for powerful pain relief and deep muscle relaxation. Because after he built the house...
What about the curtains?
Jack had to decorate. Pick up a Thermacare and wrap yourself in relief.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
In one of the largest settlements of its kind in U.S. history, 95 former employees of the Alaska Pulp Corporation will share in an $11.75 million settlement from the company over a 16-year-old unfair labor practices case. It involved a strike which ended in 1987. At that time, Alaska Pulp refused to hire back 95 of the strikers. The settlement covers the workers' back pay and pension benefits over the 16-year period, averaging out to about $124,000 per worker.
Today's scheduled strike by 3,000 Twin Cities hospital workers has been called off thanks to a tentative contract struck late last week. The deal is an improvement to what hospital managers had called their last best and final offer last March. If they approve the contract, members of Service Employees International Union Local 113, who include janitors, nurses, aides, dietitians, and others, will see annual wage increases of 4% and a reduction in out-of-pocket medical expenses.
As many as 60 million Indian workers, mostly in government and the banking, insurance, and petroleum industries, will take part in a one-day strike tomorrow in protest of government privatization plans. Many of the workers hope the show of resistance will provide a political reality check and cause politicians to delay the privatization drive until the next round of general elections are over. Those are scheduled for next year.
Another retail clothing chain is under fire for its dress code policies. A lawsuit filed recently in a California court charges that employees of 51 Chico's clothing stores were illegally forced to purchase their store's apparel and accessories as a condition of employment. The plaintiffs say their clothes are effectively uniforms, which employers in California are required to pay for. Similar lawsuits are pending against Ralph Lauren, Abercrombie & Fitch, and The Gap. You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Debating on the hill of all your crazy antics, we'll all have had our fill. We'll be closing down munitions plants and Old Glory will be furled, 'cause we don't want your big machines, we just want the world.
The Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Yeah, another world is possible. Let's fix that in our mind rather than always being on the defensive from the elites that are misruling this entire planet, including the United States of America. In fact, probably beginning with the United States of America. Hey, we're going to do Jim Hightower, and then we'll be back with our conversation with Russell McKiber and his daily confrontations with Ari Fleischer, who has resigned. And nobody has come up with the origins of Mike Malloy's phrase that he always refers to Ari about pencil neck geek. Where what is that from? All right, here's Jim Hightower on the Peter Werby Show.
You've got to love the Bushites' orchestration of Orwellian wordplay when they issue new edicts to gut the public interest. Instead of simply admitting that they're rigging the rules to further enrich their corporate campaign contributors, they use poll-tested phrases to make a negative sound positive, such as balancing environmental excess or modernizing outdated labor laws. These Orwellian phrases always cover up a gotcha. The latest example comes from the FCC, which is supposed to be our watchdog over the public airwaves. But Chairman Michael Powell is the lapdog of the big conglomerates that want to turn our airwaves into their private, for-profit plaything. He's now trying to ram through a rigging of FCC ownership rules that would let this handful of global media giants gain almost total control over mass market news in your city and throughout the country. But rather than admit that this is a giveaway of an essential public asset, our airwaves, Powell plays word games, claiming that he's simply revising the rules of a bygone era. Well, if he means an era in which a diversity of opinions, local news, free-flowing information, and real competition existed on our airwaves, that certainly will be long gone under Powell's revision. For example, he wants to allow a single conglomerate to control the TV programming for 90% of the American people. He also wants to let a single corporation own the newspapers and practically all of the radio and TV stations in any city or in any number of cities. This is not the marketplace at work, as the Bushites claim. It's forced monopolization, and it will destroy any democracy on our airwaves and in our news sources. This power grab is so outrageous that Powell allowed only one perfunctory public hearing on it and plans to ram it through in a rushed-up vote. This is Jim Hightower saying, to fight for a democratic media, call the Free Press Media Reform Network, 413-585-1533.
Thank you very much, Jim Hightower, America's favorite populist. You can go to jimhightower.com for more information and a regular feature at this time on The Peter Werbe Show. Joining me right now is Russell McIver, and Russell McIver, as we were saying earlier, is the editor of the Washington-based Corporate Crime Reporter, and also, and this is my first question. Hi, Russell McIver.
Hi, Peter.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And my producer, Jalene Jordan, and I were trying to remember... Is this welcome back, or is this your first time on the broadcast?
Oh, I think I've been on once before.
I think so, maybe a couple of years ago or so. Anyways, you have this always mostly humorous, although certainly with a knife twist, conversations, if you will, with Ari Fleischer in his White House press briefings. How in the world did you wind up there in the first place? Usually they only, it seems like they only let in the compliant media.
Well, it was a struggle. I have a congressional press pass, which gets me into most press conferences in Washington. And I tried to get a White House press pass, but they wouldn't give me one. A White House press pass would give me access to the White House anytime I wanted. They wouldn't give me that. And I started going to press briefings during the Clinton administration. When I asked to go during this administration, they let me in, and then they said, no, I could no longer attend because it had something to do with security, and I tried to figure out what it was, and they wouldn't tell me. So, you know, my lawyer met with their lawyer, and finally I was forced in. And so that's how I got in. It wasn't just because I asked to get in. And I started asking questions, and then periodically I would be left at the gate. You know, I would show my congressional press pass, and they would say, no, well, something's wrong with the computer. And then amazingly, miraculously, the computer would be fixed, you know, 5 minutes before the briefing was over, and I would get in. So there, it's still a struggle getting in, but now increasingly I'm getting in, but Ari's leaving.
Yeah, Ari's leaving now. We have seen, of course, all these exchanges over the last, I don't know, how long has it been? A year and a half, 2 years?
It's been 18 months or so.
18 months or so. Russell McIver meets Ari Fleischer, or maybe the other way around, and it seems, you know, we just have to read this at commondreams.org, so I'm putting in all the tenor. Seems like you just... you know, thrust in this knife, and he, of course, being a good press secretary, avoids the questions, but he just seems to be just dripping with dislike for you. Do you get that feeling, or is that not there?
I can't tell, because he's a very pleasant guy, and which is the scariest thing, because all these guys, you know, what they said about Bush, what the reporters were saying about Bush during the election was, if you had to choose who to have a beer with, who would you choose, Gore or Bush? And everybody would say Bush.
Mm-hmm.
But the scary thing is, you know, they come up smiling. And I'm wondering, yesterday I was wondering about whether there's a conscience, whether it's being used, whether they care. I've heard that our, you know, Ari's parents tend to the liberal side. They can't be happy with this administration. And there, in every family, in every human being, it's not black and white. And so there is the struggle. In fact, I took some heat for people were emailing me yesterday saying, you know, stop asking these stupid questions. Of course he doesn't have a conscience. And why would he say? Because I asked yesterday, I raised the question of Gerald Terhorst, who was President Ford's press secretary and who resigned after a month because he said as a matter of conscience he could not live with President Ford's pardon of President Nixon. And so I asked Ari whether President Bush has done anything during his presidency that raised the thought, even for a moment, that as a matter of conscience, Ari couldn't stay with this administration. And he said, not for a moment. Why should there be? And I wanted to answer him and tell him why there should be. But he cut me off and started this soliloquy about why President Bush is his favorite guy ever and so forth. And he came up smiling. And then I took some heat from people saying, why are you asking about it's clear he doesn't have a conscience. Well, to me, it's not clear that any human being doesn't have a conscience. It's a question of how we're seeing things, why we got into this predicament, and why is it that, I mean, it was just straight sycophancy yesterday with reporters, you know, just saying we're going to miss you and this is so wonderful and why are you leaving us? And I felt very sad.
Well,
not for the same reason they felt sad.
Well, I would think not. Hey, Russell McIver, when you ask these questions, in fact, the value of your exchanges with Ari Fleischer are in the questions you ask, because they are the questions that every reporter in Washington should be asking, and you're the only one, and you must know that each time they're not going to be answered. They're going to be danced around, whether it's about weapons of mass destruction or policy towards Israel or any number of other things that you've quote, bothered him with over the 18 months, and yet you never really get an answer. How do you use what you've gotten, and what's your intent at being at these briefings? Is it simply to print them in commondreams.org?
Well, and also to I think remind reporters, as you said, that this is our job. Our job is not to ask, so when are we going in, and when's the war going to be over, and what's the president having for dinner at the state dinner with the president of the Philippines? Our job is to ask questions concerning the major policies of our day and to understand why we're doing this and to confront the administration with the reality and effects of their policy.
Mm-hmm.
And there are reporters who do that, but it's not an easy situation. Helen Thomas has been there for, you know, six or seven or eight presidents. And she, on a regular basis, was handing it to Ari. And when Bush held his press conference a couple months ago, for the first time in all her time at the White House, she was not allowed to ask a question of the president, and she was put in the back row. And, you know, she's the dean of the White House Press Corps, and historically the dean gets asked the first question and gets to close the press conference. But he came in with a list of 17 reporters he was going to call upon, and Helen was not one of them. And there's sort of a filtering process where if you know you're going to be called upon, you're not going to put it to the president. And so, you know, a lot of reporters know what the game is. And they know if they speak up, they will be challenged. In fact, when I first started asking questions of when it's going to the White House, I got a call from Ari, and he was saying to me that, you know, why are you always trying to portray this White House as being, you know, part of some criminal element? And I told him that I wasn't. That I do a publication called Corporate Crime Reporter. It's now in its 17th year, and my job is to report on corporate and white collar crime. And it seemed to me that this was an administration with heavy ties to big business, and I'm generally reporting on what the policy is going to be while we're in the Middle East planning wars. white-collar and corporate criminals are in the Middle West savaging the country and the rest of the country, and very few people are going to jail for it.
Mm-hmm.
And we document this regularly. Our website is corporatecrimereporter.com, and we report on this on a regular basis. On that website, you'll see an article that we wrote about. And this is the kind of question that, to me, seems so obvious, but in this day and age is relegated to the back pages or is not reported on. And President Bush, last month or earlier this month, went to Santa Clara, California, and he spoke at a defense contractor called United Defense. And these are the people who make the machine that pulled down the Saddam Hussein statue. So it was a perfect
and the Bradley fighting vehicle and what have you. And this was right after he had come off of that stage-managed landing on the USS Abraham Lincoln.
Right, so this is stage management part two in California. Yeah. And, okay, so now, what is United Defense? United Defense is a company controlled by the Carlyle Group. The Carlyle Group is a private investment bank firm with $15 billion in assets. President Bush's father, President Bush Sr., is a paid advisor to the Carlyle Group. So here you have a situation where the president is at a company promoting a company's products that financially benefits his father.
And ultimately him.
I mean, it's all in the family. So
yeah.
Here we have like a raw, blistering conflict of interest that's screaming out for attention. And I raised the question that I thought should be raised about this. And Ari says, I don't see anything problem with that. I mean, what if the president's father was on Social Security and the president pushed for programs that help people on Social Security? Would that be a conflict?
Yikes.
So he basically gave the back of the hand to any idea that this administration could be engaged in these kinds of conflicts that benefit people within the administration. To me, it's an obvious question, and even conservative public interest types like Larry Klayman of Judicial Watch have called for Bush Sr. to resign from this because it's so obvious that they're building up the military and that it's benefiting his father's firm and his buddies at Carlyle Group.
My guest in the Peter Werby Show, Russell McIver, editor of the Corporate Crime Reporter. Let's bring into the discussion Jeff from Denver. Jeff, it's Peter Werby and Russell McIver. Thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES. You have a question.
Yeah, hi, Russell. I read your stuff a lot. And what you talk about is filter, and an interesting note is I don't find what you put on there in the White House transcripts. Any comments on that?
Well, actually, they are there.
Okay.
Yeah, they are there. Those are my transcripts of my back and forth with Ari. And if you look at the White House transcripts for that day, you'll see something similar or almost exactly the
same. Every time I've tried to do a search, I haven't found them.
What you should do is just take Carlyle Group for that day that I asked it. Type in Carlyle Group, and it will come up.
Do you find, though, that they do filter the transcripts, or are they pretty accurate?
No, they're pretty accurate, and they get into trouble when they try and filter the transcripts.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks.
Appreciate that. You ask all these questions that should be asked, and, of course, aren't we on this broadcast, we refer to the media as the medium and the compliant medium. And I wonder how, this is a hard question in a sense, but how you're regarded by the other reporters. Are they thinking, gee, yeah, this guy's asking what I wish I could, or, oh, there goes my Kyber again, just wasting our time.
Because it just depends on the politics of the person. And this idea that reporters are objective is a crock. Reporters have their politics. And there is true fear within the White House press corps because of fear of being kicked out and being replaced either by the big corporation that you're working for or by the White House. And so I see myself as an untouchable, although recently, just yesterday, since Ari resigned, a couple reporters came up to me. It was an emotional thing for all the reporters, and one said to me that his son is a big fan of Ari and I. This is a pretty conservative reporter. And another said that she enjoyed my question. There was a big flack over a question I asked over Jesus Christ, because I was wondering, the president is a born-again Christian.
Yeah.
And I was wondering how he could reconcile his belief in Christ with Christ's pacifism. Christ believed that, you know, turn the other cheek, do violence to no man.
Right.
And I claim that Christ was a pacifist because he was.
Almost out of time, Russell. Go ahead.
And so how could the president reconcile this killing in Iraq and mm-hmm. Afghanistan with pacifism? And one of the conservative reporters cut me off, said, that's not true. Christ was not a pacifist. He kicked over the tables in the temple, and he was a violent man. And later, you know, this guy's Lester Consolving, a right-wing talk show host. And later I confronted Lester, and I said, Lester, that's not true. You cut me off, number one, rudely. And number two, what you said wasn't true. Tell me another instance where he acted violently at all, and he couldn't say. And I got a lot of traffic on that because people thought that was the bottom line, that there was this duplicity, and Bush, the so-called Christian, was acting in an unchristian way.
Thank you, Russell McIver. I'll put your website, corporatecrimereporter.com, up on my site. Also, go to commondreams.org. You'll see it all. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Peter.
Appreciate it. Have a great day. We'll be right back. Hey, they've just raised the terror alert. Shoo.
I say it's like fire.
No, I'd say blowtorch.
I describe it this way. Oh.
They're talking about the burn of indigestion and pain. How can you cool the burning fast? With Alka-Seltzer. Effervescent Alka-Seltzer is ready to go to work instantly to cool the burn of indigestion and pain fast. Alka-Seltzer with the refreshing lemon-lime taste. Nothing cools the burn of indigestion and pain faster. Use as directed.
Are you wondering how to prosper in our so-called muddle-through economy? Experts say that gold is now the buy of a generation. Hi, I'm Christopher Kent, host of Antique Talk, and I'd like to introduce you to Swiss America, the company that's helping America to rediscover gold. Now, I'm no expert on the economy or on gold, but I am an expert on antiques and collectibles. And Swiss America is the leader in the United States collectible coin market, which has a very impressive track record over the past 30 years. But before you launch out into rare coins, the first step is to get educated. So please, write this number down, 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's BUYCOIN. Ask for a free copy of The New Gold Rush. It'll help you understand this emerging gold rush so you can stake your claim and tell them Christopher Kent told you to call.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Peter Werby
Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Wanna kill? I wanna kill. Kill. I wanna see blood and gore and guts and veins in my teeth. Eat dead, burnt bodies. I mean, kill. 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 And I started jumping up and down, yelling, kill. Kill. And it started jumping up and down with me, and we was both jumping up and down, yelling, kill.
Smell of napalm in the morning. Oh, you know that gasoline smell? Smells like victory.
The Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. We've been playing that for a long time. Still seems to sound right. What do you think, Julene Jordan?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's a good little montage there. We were talking earlier, before we spoke with Russell McIver and his confrontations with Ari Fleischer, the pencil neck geek. And we'll tell you after next hour where that comes from. But we were talking about right-wing actors.
Yeah.
And this is from Mark in Hoover, Alabama. He wrote into Call Talk Yes, and he said, there's Heston, Reagan, Arnold, Stallone, Bruce Willis, Mel Gibson, Chuck Norris, mostly wooden macho type one-dimensional hacks.
Yeah.
And he says, this is very interesting, right-wingers can't become great actors because that would require empathy, compassion, and the ability to put oneself in another's shoes. And same usually applies in singers, musicians, writers, and artists. And I think we've lost Jolene. Okay, we're going to go back and get here. In the meantime, though, we can very ably get Greg in New Mexico. Greg, Peter Werby at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Hi, Peter. Just an observation. Part of the reason for going to war was to rid us of this threat of Saddam Hussein. And just before we moved into Baghdad, his sons pulled, three or four semi-trucks in front of the bank and took out billions of dollars in American currency.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's on the loose somewhere, deposed, really mad, and truckloads of money to get back at us with. And where's the logic in that?
Yeah, it doesn't make a bit of sense and didn't work very well at all. Well, Greg, thanks for calling. I have to cut this one a little short because we have to take a break, and we'll talk again. Please call us. Greg, listening to KTRC, where I broadcast live last Tuesday and Wednesday. Great time out there. Great folks. All right, it's break time right now. Jolene Jordan will be back. We have more guests. And best of all, we'd like to hear from you. 1-800-TALK-YES. And I want to know what you think about this new terror alert. It's up to orange again. And also, yeah, for the ratings, we're going to talk about sex and drugs. So come on back. I'm Peter Werby.
You've been listening to The Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, there. This is a commercial for a major radio network.
We
can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Marna Wogan. Law enforcement agencies nationwide have been alerted by the FBI to likely terrorist attacks in the U.S. The alert follows what has been described as increased chatter among terrorists. In spite of new fears of a terrorist attack, Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge has told a congressional panel today that the U.S. is safer now than it was 20 months ago. Ridge said the nation's security against terrorist attacks, however, still has a long way to go. Iran is denying recent claims that it is developing chemical weapons. The country is also rejecting U.S. remarks that al-Qaeda operatives are hiding in Iran. Roxana Saberi reports from Tehran.
Iran calls recent charges by the Mujahideen-e Khalq, or MKO, baseless. The group, branded terrorists by the EU, the U.S. State Department, and Iran, has claimed Tehran is developing chemical weapons. But Iran's foreign ministry spokesman says the MKO served the ousted Iraqi regime and is not worth worrying about. Hamid Reza Asefi says Iran has declared it has not pursued the weapons and says it will never produce them. He also refuted recent remarks made by the U.S. Defense Secretary that al-Qaeda leaders are in Iran. The U.S. blames al-Qaeda for the September 11th attacks, as well as recent bombings in Saudi Arabia. Mr. Asefi said Iran is very serious about confronting the group and similar networks. He says his country has and will continue to extradite members of al-Qaeda to their countries of origin. Roxana Saberi, Tehran.
A CH-46 Sea Knight crashed yesterday in Iraq, killing at least four American Marines who were on board. Officials with the Pentagon say the chopper went down in a waterway near Karbala, located about 70 miles southwest of the Iraqi capital of Baghdad. There is no indication the crash was due to enemy fire. The Sea Knight chopper is used in hauling cargo as well as in search and rescue operations. And the waters of San Francisco Bay are being searched again for the more evidence that may be connected to the murders of Lacey Peterson. Scott Peterson is charged with the killings. We'll have more in a moment.
Hey, watch it!
Down in front!
Hey, we made it!
Yeah.
4 hours back-to-back Godzilla movies!
Quiet!
Sorry. Did you see that cute girl on the end as we came in?
Oh, who could miss her?
So ask her out.
What? No.
Excuse me, my friend here wants to know if the girl on the aisle will go out with her. Pass it down.
Ask the girl over there if she wants to meet this loner. Pass it down.
Hey, that dude over there wants to meet the girl next to you when the flick's over. Excuse me, miss? There's a guy down there who wants to know if you're an organ and tissue donor.
Yes, of course.
Are you an organ and tissue donor? It's a simple but important question. Talk to your family today. Make sure they know your decision so there'll be no question later.
Hey, buddy. She said yeah. Oh, hey, buddy. Me too.
What?
Share your life. Share your decision. Call 1-800-355-SHARE for a free brochure. 1-800-355-SHARE. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coalition on Donation.
Terry Nichols is expected to enter a plea today in connection with the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing. Nichols, who has already been convicted on federal charges, has been ordered to stand trial in the state court on 162 counts of murder. That's one count for each person killed in the bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building and two counts for two unborn babies whose mothers died in the blast. During a preliminary hearing, Nichols' attorney argued that holding the proceedings in Oklahoma City would taint the jury pool. If convicted, Nichols faces the death penalty.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
Lawyers for four girls suspended over a hazing incident at a Chicago area high school went to court yesterday to try to get the disciplinary action overturned. Meanwhile, the Chicago Sun-Times reports school officials have offered a deal that would allow students to graduate with the grades they attained before the incident. But they would have to attend counseling, perform community service, and would be prohibited from making book or movie deals. In all, 32 students were suspended in the melee that broke out during an off-campus Powder Puff football game on May 4th. Video of the event shown girls being struck and forced to eat dirt. A British infant may have a future as an air traffic controller. Authorities spent 12 hours trying to figure out why pilots approaching Britain's Luton Airport were hearing the sounds of a baby crying rather than landing instructions. The BBC reports they finally figured out that a baby monitor at a house near the airport was causing the interference. The company that made the baby monitor gave a new one to little Freya Spratley's family. Authorities say there was no threat to safety. I'm Marna Woken, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Kids fight over toys, and mom says share. Good advice for the playground and the road. When I come back, we'll talk peaceful coexistence between cars and motorcycles.
We're at the track asking drivers why they recommend Champion Platinum Power Spark Plugs. Here comes Matt Kenseth and his Ford. Matt, why do you trust Champion? He said Champion provides long-lasting power. Here comes Dale Earnhardt Jr. and his Chevy. Dale said Champion has the right technology. So use Champion in your car no matter what make it is. Champion, the world's favorite spark plug. What'd he say?
Get new Champion Platinum Power Spark Plugs at a leading auto parts store or retailer near you.
Global detente's important, but drivers of four-wheel vehicles and two-wheeled motorcycles could use some local negotiation in sharing the road. Here's a start. Cyclists, act like full-sized vehicles by claiming road space nearer centerline, encouraging drivers to pass with a wider berth. Four-wheeled vehicles, don't move to one side to see what's going on in slow traffic. Stick to the middle of your lane. This position discourages cyclists from weaving between cars. Now that's shuttle diplomacy. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome to the Peter Werby Show, where we dare to connect the dots. Call now at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Angeline Jordan. Hi, Jeline.
Hello.
Absolutely, I don't know what. Not incredible. That's not the word I want. U.S. is raising the terror alert again to orange. The Department of Fatherland Security says it's going from yellow to orange, its second highest level. And what does that mean we should do?
Yeah. Is it back to duct tape and...
oh, yeah, the old duct tape.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Think about this. Think about Israel. It is on full-time red alert every single day. Right?
Yeah.
And we saw just over, what is there, five bombing incidents in the last 4 days? And yet there's, I'm sure that they stop, tons of them. On the other hand, there's, given people's willingness to do what these, particularly suicide bombers, are willing to do, it doesn't really appear that there's much that the average citizen can functionally do to avoid this.
Yeah, right.
Think of all the innocent civilians that have died in Israel. Of course, all the innocent, much three times the innocent civilians who have died among the Palestinians because of the U.S. supplied weapons that Israel uses in its retaliation. All the kids that are killed over there. It's funny. These are front page. All these gory photos when little babies and children, hundreds and the Israelis have killed hundreds and hundreds of Palestinian children. I mean, I can't remember. I don't want to exaggerate. But actually, we're having a guest tomorrow probably tell us about that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Middle East, I can't remember the whole It's MARIP.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Middle East report. I didn't know. Catherine Cook. She's from MARIP. I can't remember what it stands for. We probably both have it here. But
Middle East Research and Information Project.
Yeah. That's a very, very good group for information. But anyways, we continually get one side of it. But these awful bombings, they seem somehow more grotesque. I don't know why. When babies are dead, when civilians are dead, I never care what their ethnic origin or color or religion or anything is like that. It's dead civilians. It's dead babies. And if they're Jewish babies or Palestinian babies or American babies or Iraqi babies, the only thing I know is that the people that have launched the bombs of the bombers always have these great rationalizations of why they had to do it. And it's regrettable, or it's because of this, or our religion says this, or whatever. It doesn't wash a bit with me. And
yeah.
So here we have this orange alert, and you don't know what to make of it. This is the classic boy that cried wolf. Tom Ridge today says, well, you know, the U.S. is safer than any time it's been since September 11th, because, of course, we have this massive expenditure of billions of anti-terror dollars that literally has enriched all these corporations that are feeding at the trough of public funds to provide everything. What? So we can identify through some sort of radar how people walk. Okay?
I know. And we should probably explain that.
Yeah, well, they're just that the Pentagon has given the University of Georgia a contract, so they $1 million, so they can discover some way that they can identify people by their walk. And this is just like a bare tip of the iceberg. This teeny weeny little sliver of how many billions are being spent on this. And in fact, a lot of the resources of the country are being turned over to it. Well, do we need it? I mean, in many ways, probably the threat of terrorism has been exaggerated by 100 times, not 100%, but 100 times by the Bush administration to make us forget about their domestic failures, the domestic catastrophe, the political attack on everybody from workers to women to the environment and what have you. Literally, what have you? What do we have? The Bush administration
take away from you.
Is attacking it. On the other hand, because of this foolish imperial adventure, this attack on Iraq, illegal and unnecessary, I love your phrase. What do you say? You know, 50 baby Osamas have been born.
Right.
Yeah. And so there very well could be an increased danger, chatter on the internet. What are these guys? Are they that dumb? All right, let's go chatter on the internet, and they won't hear us. They have to. They're spending last week $16 million on emergency drills in Seattle and Chicago. Now, if you were a terrorist, Jalene Jordan, wouldn't you say, well, let's not hit Seattle or Chicago?
They're going to be more prepared.
Yeah, let's hit Tucson or Minneapolis.
That Chicago one was a big, huge gathering. I don't know much about the Seattle gathering.
But it was like if there was a bioterrorist attack.
Yeah.
But front page of USA Today for, I think it was last Friday. Where did they put the? Oh, yeah, here it is, Friday. Terrorist most likely weapon? Bombs. And that's what it always is. Regular old explosive bombs. Not dirty bombs, not biochemical warfare. I mean, maybe they'll work this out.
Box cutters, Peter.
Box cutters, yeah. Yeah, we're going to spend hundreds of billions of dollars and increase the potential for attacks by doing what the Bush administration, the Bush gang, does overseas. All right, you can comment on that, 1-800-TALK-YES. If you're on hold, please stay there. We'll get to you in 1 minute. We were talking last hour about right-wing artists and rock stars and what have you. And
I was curious because I didn't know about many of them. And we got a short list, and I think there is a pretty short list.
Stallone and Arnold and Bruce Willis and Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris, right.
None of them great actors. Some of them are okay. I like watching Arnold, and he always plays in these kind of left-wing films, though. Do you know what I mean? Like
where he's rebelling?
Yeah, and for instance, I'm trying to think of Terminator 2. I mean, it had an anti-nuke, anti-technology theme. What was the other one? One of them based on Philip K. Dick's We Can Dream It For You Wholesale. I can't remember
that. Well, you know what, Peter? Maybe when it comes down to getting paid the big bucks, it just doesn't matter.
Maybe Arnold doesn't know.
Maybe he just didn't figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah. We're talking about Mel Gibson. Dan in Long Island writes, Mel Gibson and his father is one of those, Mel Gibson's father is one of those people who doesn't believe the Holocaust in Europe ever happened. And Mel Gibson and his father also belong to one of those extremist religious movements who are full of conspiracy theories. Gibson's movie, The Passion, that he's making about the last 12 hours of Christ's life is going to reflect what he believes is the truth.
Oh, no.
This truth includes the fact that the Jews killed Jesus. Well, I mean, they did execute him. Gibson also was a main donor for a huge multi-million-dollar church built out in California. Yeah.
Didn't know any of this. Well, the good news, like I said, I'm not a fan of his anyway, so it doesn't break my heart.
Well, you know what, though? The right-wingers, when anyone speaks on the left or even has any, not even, aren't even on the left, but just say, gee, I think a war in Iraq is wrong, not only are they pillared publicly, but these right-wingers try to ruin their career. Whereas, I know this about...
mass movements, like Danny Glover. There's mass movement to get him kicked out of MCI, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as a spokesman for it. Right, yeah, let's get Danny Glover on the air.
I know. You know, I've tried a couple of times. He's a tough one.
Yeah. Well, so when I hear that Mel Gibson is a right-winger and maybe even kind of a religious wacko, that has no effect on me whether I'm going to go see his movies. Like you said last hour, Jalene, I don't see many of his movies anyway. No. But, that's not going to affect me too much. Now, more, and this is from our friend Dave Marsh, who runs Rock Rap Confidential. You can go to rockrap.com, and he's talking about the Dixie Chicks cross the road. And so there was all this attempt to suppress the Dixie Chicks, and they're just saying, you know, they just shove it in the face of these right wingers. It's absolutely amazing. They got naked. I think it's still on my website. I keep saying, quit pandering, Pete. PeterWerbe.com. Here I go pandering. PeterWerbe. You know, I think it might even be off. I don't know. I haven't even looked at my own website in a while. But it's they were naked on the cover of Entertainment Weekly. Now, listen to this. They started their tour. We reported on this in Greenville, South Carolina on May 1st. And after the third song, Natalie Maines, clad in a tank top emblazoned with Dare to Be Free, offered the crowd a chance to boo. And the Greenville News says there wasn't any. Nor was there any booing during the performance of Patty Griffin's Truth Number 2, You Don't Like the Sound of Truth Coming Out of My Mouth, which is one of the lyrics. And think about that. Patty Griffin, of course, very liberal folk singer.
Oh,
wonderful.
I love her.
Yeah, now, here is the most amazing thing, and I haven't seen this reported anywhere. They showed a video. The Dixie Chicks did, on the air, on stage, that highlighted the civil rights movement, Gandhi, Malcolm X, and women's rights, along with footage of people stomping on records by the Beatle, Sinead O'Connor,
really?
And the Dixie Chicks.
Well, good for them.
Yeah. I love these people.
I do, too.
I love these people. Let's, here's a kind of a neighbor of yours, Ken in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Ken, it's Peter Werbe and Jalene Jordan. Hi, you're on the air. Thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
You said so much that...
Ken, I need you to talk up just a bit.
You said so much that was worth commenting on in the last few minutes, but my purpose in calling was in response to a question you asked as far as what is one to make of the heightened alert.
Sure.
This gang of thieves in office right now are so undeserving of trust, but at the same time, we as lay citizens just don't know that's the double bind they create. But what I do know is they cannot be trusted, and for all the reasons that too many people have said already, I just wish more people were listening.
Well, I wonder, Ken, I don't do anything differently when I hear there's an orange alert. Do you?
What can you do?
I know.
There's nothing to do except shift your focus, which is what they're so successful at.
Yeah, there must be something bad coming down the pike, so they've ramped this up. I mean, if there was a possibility of terrorist attack, I mean, I hope all the police agencies of the world and of the United States are doing their utmost. But I think when it goes to red, they won't even let us leave the house.
But you know, you cannot distinguish between what may legitimately be coming down the pike and the bad news coming from Iraq and Afghanistan at how failed we are at undoing what we did.
Oh,
I
just saw, Ken, the Minister for War, Darth Rumsfeld, on. He said things are starting to go swimmingly in Iraq. I mean, forget about the thousands and thousands of Shiites that are marching in a demonstration chanting USA out and want to return women to what they didn't have under Saddam Hussein, which was, you know, having to be covered by, a full, I don't know, I forget what they call it there, but sort of what we call the burqa. Full garb, yeah.
Well, I just read again today Rumsfeld's quote, his justification of looting as a sign of a free society.
Yeah.
Makes me want to go out and grab a new TV set for myself and use him as my excuse.
Somebody along the line, I don't think this got on the air, said, oh, maybe it was. They said, yeah, next time there's an urban riot, they can say, hey, that, you know, democracy's messy. Ken, thanks for calling.
Thanks, sir.
Appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES. Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan. Here's Billy from Santa Cruz. Billy, thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hey.
Hi.
Billy.
Hi, doll. So first, let me...
He's so 50s. Yeah.
He's the only one who gets away with it.
Yeah.
What's that?
He says, you're the only one that could get away with calling her doll.
Yeah, well, I am bigger than she is. What are you going to do about it?
You're bigger than everybody.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And 3,000 miles away, at least until Tuesday.
That's right.
Yeah.
Billy's coming to Miami.
Look out, Miami.
Miami Vice.
Look out, Miami.
Yeah. So just let's first, though, go with the titles. The Dick title is I Can Remember It For You Wholesale.
Oh, yeah.
Which you mixed up with the other Dick title, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
That's right.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That's Philip K. Dick, by the way, a great science fiction writer, yeah.
Great science fiction.
You know what we're going to do, Billy? We're going to put you on hold because I know from what our phone screener said you have surprisingly a lot to say. So can we put you on hold?
Okay.
All right, thank you. You hold on with us and we'll be right back. I'm Peter Werby, Jalene Jordan, 1-800-TALK-YES. Your thoughts about this newest orange alert. Hey, look. Stuff happened in Saudi Arabia. These guys are serious. But are we having our chains pulled again for political purposes by the Bush gang? Well, you know what my answer is. Peter Werby, Jalene Jordan, we're at 1-800-TALK-YES. Billy's on hold, has some other callers as well. You'd like to join the stack. Jalene, do we have a guest this hour?
We don't.
So we don't, so hey, it's on you.
Honey, what's for dinner?
Hot dogs.
We had hot dogs last night,
mm-hmm.
And for breakfast today,
yes.
And lunch.
I'm playing the French's Mustard Instant Win Game. Every bottle has a giveaway. You can win $50,000 instantly or tons of great stuff from Six Flags.
Well, French's is my favorite mustard.
Now it's even better.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. All claims must be postmarked by 12/31/03. Must be legal U.S. resident 18 years to enter. See specially marked packages of French's Mustard or www.frenchesfoods.com for details. Nothing cuts the mustard like French's.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool in video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
the IE America Radio Network delivers progressive information and entertaining programming throughout the week and weekends. The Doug Steffen Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The Home Improvement Experts and Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show. Tell us what's on your mind at 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Jolene Jordan, welcome back.
Thank you.
And we may be in a bit of trouble here. This is from John at Call Talk Yes, and we were saying earlier about how Mel Gibson has this film that shows that the Jews killed Jesus, and I said, yeah. And John, in like quadruple exclamation points, said, Peter, the Romans killed Jesus. It's not a story I've read very much. Saw a little bit of the movie once. How about you? Do you know who? You know, Char, who killed? Char doesn't know. Who killed Jesus? I mean, anyways.
You know that I am not a religious person. So I've never really studied much.
Here is the deal. What happened 2,000 years ago? That's one of the things that anti-Semites try to say is that, you know, the Jews killed Jesus. In fact, they would call sometimes, they would call Jews, you know, you're a Jesus, you killed Jesus. You know, that would be a taunt. But it's not like some kid in the, you know, the 20th or 21st century had anything to do what people may or may not have done in Palestine 2,000 years ago, right? I mean, assuming that that story has actually even any factual basis at all. Right? Let's not go there. Let's not go there. Let's go to Santa Cruz. I'd rather be in Santa Cruz with Billy. Billy, you're back on the air.
Hey, buddy.
Did you kill Jesus?
Actually, the way that goes is the Romans said, who do you want to save? I'm going to kill one of them, either the thief or the Jew, the rabbi. Who do you want to die? And supposedly the Jews in this case said, oh, you know what? Let's save the thief, kill the rabbi. That's how the Jews killed Jesus.
As I said earlier to somebody, whatever. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, I want to talk about freedom of speech and communication, and I want to let's start with this. Jolene started to object when I called her doll a minute ago.
Yeah.
Now
she said only you could get away with it because you're so 50s.
Exactly. But what she doesn't know is, for example, that I am so 50s, and the reason I do that is I learned it from my mother, who calls men and women, and as do I, equally. Doll.
Oh, that kind of doll. Kind of like the waitress.
Exactly. That's kind it. Exactly. You got it.
You never called me doll. Call me doll.
I bet you I have.
Go ahead, say it.
You listen. Okay, doll, you'll see.
Okay, he did it. He said it. All right. Go ahead.
And it doesn't sound that bad, does it?
No, doll.
Accept it from me because it's fair I mean it. I wanted to talk about that group, that business group. What's it called? Bad?
Bad?
Bad.
I don't know.
Broadcasters Against Dissent.
Okay, Broadcasters Against Dissent. You made this up.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
And I'm deciding whether it should have two Ds. Should it be Broadcasters Against Dissent and Discussion and be like the double D, like the alcoholic girls, you know, the mothers?
Uh-huh.
Or just the one D?
I don't know.
I think you can include discussion.
Hey, this just in, too. We're passing out lots of disinformation, so I don't want anybody to write a book about me the way they have done about Rush. So, calltalkyes@yahoo.com is the place. Sally writes in, Peter, Sylvester Stallone is a liberal. He even had President Clinton at his house for a fundraiser. Love your show, because somebody said that he was a right winger.
Well, good. Rocky's
okay.
I was thinking that maybe
cool with me.
That what's his name was too. You know, you were talking yesterday about the animals. People are animals, or are they animals or not?
Yeah.
And of course, you know, I have a soul, so I can't be an animal.
Right.
I was kidding. And of course, the news comes in today that people and chimpanzees are more closely related than like chimpanzees and gorillas.
Okay.
Which explains a couple of things. You know, no wonder Americans vote for Bush. They're a bunch of freaking chimpanzees, a bunch of monkeys. So they voted for a monkey.
Oh, my.
Right, Billy, say goodnight.
Yes,
say goodnight, doll.
Goodnight, doll.
Okay. All right. Goodbye. Here's Mike from Helena. Mike, we haven't heard from you in a long time. Thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES.
Yeah, well, yeah, we're an out signal zone now for a couple months.
Yeah, you've been out without the signal. Yeah, we haven't been broadcasting into
Helena.
Yeah,
I haven't got access to a computer, but I listen to a lot of rock and roll.
That's good.
Hey, yeah.
Still handwritten a lot of letters, some poetry.
Yeah, good.
Listen to this. I've got a New World Order explanation to understand and prevent suicide bombings. First, let me check a fact with you. I'm fairly sure that the Arabian language, similar to the Chinese language, is mostly calligraphic, that there isn't any language dictionary with word definitions like
Mike,
English,
right? Wait a minute, Mike. Hold on. I got to put you on hold because we got to go to a break because the music's up. We'll talk to you when we come back. You want to join Mike and others, please do it. 1-800-TALK-YES, Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan. Lot of letters at calltalkyes.com as well, at yahoo.com. We'll be right back.
Feed someone who is hungry, and you will feel full. Give a child a reason to dream, and you will feel at peace. Help a teen reclaim his youth, and you will feel years younger. When you help the Salvation Army, everybody feels better. Donate online at SalvationArmyUSA.org. Need knows no season.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
In one of the largest settlements of its kind in U.S. history, 95 former employees of the Alaska Pulp Corporation will share in an $11.75 million settlement from the company over a 16-year-old unfair labor practices case. It involved a strike which ended in 1987. At that time, Alaska Pulp refused to hire back 95 of the strikers. The settlement covers the workers' back pay and pension benefits over the 16-year period, averaging out to about $124,000 per worker.
Today's scheduled strike by 3,000 Twin Cities hospital workers has been called off thanks to a tentative contract struck late last week. The deal is an improvement to what hospital managers had called their last best and final offer last March. If they approve the contract, members of Service Employees International Union Local 113, who include janitors, nurses, aides, dietitians, and others, will see annual wage increases of 4% and a reduction in out-of-pocket medical expenses.
As many as 60 million Indian workers, mostly in government and the banking, insurance, and petroleum industries, will take part in a one-day strike tomorrow in protest of government privatization plans. Many of the workers hope the show of resistance will provide a political reality check and cause politicians to delay the privatization drive until the next round of general elections are over. Those are scheduled for next year.
Another retail clothing chain is under fire for its dress code policies. A lawsuit filed recently in a California court charges that employees of 51 Chico's clothing stores were illegally forced to purchase their store's apparel and accessories as a condition of employment. The plaintiffs say their clothes are effectively uniforms, which employers in California are required to pay for. Similar lawsuits are pending against Ralph Lauren, Abercrombie & Fitch, and The Gap. You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. All right, boys, come on.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
live. From beautiful Camp Orcada on Orcas Island. John C., Daylines, and the Endangered Predators. We got any animules out there? I am an animal.
You are an animal. We both are animals. We eat like animals. We dance like animals.
Yeah.
We love like animals.
Yeah.
We all are animals. We all are animals.
The Peter Wirby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Jalene Jordan, that's one of the reasons, one of the 147 reasons that conservatives hate anybody to the left of them.
We're animalistic, you mean?
We are animals.
We like to get crazy and dance around the room. And,
yeah, right. Anyway, we're talking about any number of things. Right-wing actors and singers and what have you. But also this terror alert. Marty writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. He says, perhaps this is a little macabre, but if there's another terrorist attack in the U.S., I hope I'm near ground zero because I think I'd rather be dead with some liberty left than live to see the Constitution go down. In other words, I mean, I assume, Marty, what you're talking about is the misuse of all of this, the way that it's being manipulated, all of these fears. Russ in Santa Cruz writes in, we don't pay much attention to the terror alerts out here, but some people really take these alerts very seriously. My poor mother gets so frightened she won't travel out of town. These alerts are an outrage. There won't be peace until we get rid of the thief.
That is so sad. Russ's mother.
Yeah, they are scaring the crap out of a lot of people.
Well, a lot
right,
of people,
right.
Not everyone. I mean, you know, but too many people.
Oh, wait a minute.
Too many.
And we're going to have to revisit. We're going to have to revisit this religious question, whether it's got any basis in reality or just mythology. That's up to you. But let me read this again. Dan in Long Island said that Mel Gibson is taking part in this movie, acting in this movie called The Passion, about the last 12 hours of Christ's life, and he says it's going to reflect the truth. This truth, in quotes, includes the fact that the Jews killed Jesus. Someone wrote in and says, the Romans killed Jesus. So someone call up or write us at calltalkyes@yahoo.com and remind us of the story, not religiously, just kind of the headlines, too. Now, this is very interesting. Rick writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Someone asks, who killed Jesus? Jesus was a liberal, and he was killed by the conservatives of the day. That's pretty interesting. Yeah. And sure, I from the little I remember, I think when there are movies with Charlton Heston about that. All right. We're talking also about this alert now raised to orange. And let's go back to Mike in Helena, Montana. Mike, Peter Wirby, Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK. Yes, you were talking about how to avoid terrorist attacks. Hey, Mike, you with us? Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Let's see. So, one point in understanding, I think, in preventing violence over there in Arabia and elsewhere is, of course, that they're confused by calligraphy, expand English language lessons, and peacefully, of course, is possible. And then a couple points here. Let me build this argument. This is pretty tight here.
Go ahead.
The energy is pervasive in consciousnesses and biologies. Energy is pervasive from about the beginnings of the universe, really. And also that there's sensitivity and goodwill evident in cats and dog noses and bug antennas. It's not funny.
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh.
I was really trying.
Go ahead. That's proven, though.
I know. The truth is humorous. Sometimes the truth is humorous. So.
It is.
It can be delightful.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Proceed. Proceed and excuse us. Yeah, we're back. Smiles off our face.
There's consciousness is here eons longer than us. They're sensitive, and that's evident in the about 10 years global freezing weather trends.
Weather trends, I know, but we've called in the past. Those figure large in your worldview.
Yeah, the energy there, cause and effect in that cold. It's fundamental orderly systems developed eons ago in those willful interactions of energy and consciousnesses of fish, birds, bugs, and quadrupeds. Some percent of clouds are consciousness, I'm certain, sometimes.
Well, I think we're going to have to leave it go and take that maybe up at another time. But, Mike, I'm glad you got a hold of us. I hear from a little sound I've not only lost Mike, but also Jolene as well. We'll be right back to get her as well. She is instant messaging me with, I don't even have to read the message. It says, I've just been dropped. I'm in Detroit, Michigan at the headquarters, the IE America Radio Network. Jolene is in Miami, Florida, so that's what happens sometimes. All right. We were bonking Mel Gibson for being a right winger. You're back?
I'm back.
Fast stuff. Entertainment Weekly, actually, we reported this online. This is from Tim, as he calls himself, in Columbus, Ohio. He wrote into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Reports that Mel Gibson is producing the next Michael Moore movie, Fahrenheit 9/11, about the Bush-Bin Laden connection prior to 9/11, that's going to be put out by the campaign, or by the company, rather, owned by the Disney. That's Disney. About it. Dizzy. You know, it is. It's getting me dizzy. The Disney Corporation. So what do we make of that? I actually have no idea.
He said Mel Gibson is producing Michael Moore.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, is Mel Gibson a right-winger or not?
Well, you know, some of these right-wingers are high into these conspiracy theories as well. They're sort of these what they call right-wing populists. And they see, you know, the East, these big, the government very far away from them in Washington, D.C., run by these conspiracies of big corporations. And they're on to a little bit of the truth. I mean, that certainly is the truth, that part of it. Also, let's see, Arnold's Total Recall, the movie based on Philip K. Dick's We Can Remember It For You Wholesale. Regarding the news of the Orange Alert, what potentially embarrassing revelations are now about to come to life? Perhaps this is a run-up to introduce the son of the Patriot Act. That's right. You know, that Ashcroft. Remember, how long since you've heard about anything about John Ashcroft?
Oh, I saw something earlier today.
Well, he's not really up in people's face because the Republicans realize that what a liability he is. Then again, it could be an attempt to break a judicial filibuster on judges, or, of course, the manufacturers of plastic and duct tape might have asked for it to bump up their bottom lines again, right? Mm. And, whoa, Marty, that's a lot more stuff again. What is this? Billy again. No agains.
Again.
No agains.
Find out what he says and tell us.
All right. Could you go on? He wants to make a correction. Char, ask him what he wants. Say that we'll have an extraordinarily bad precedent.
We have rules here.
We have rules, yeah. Okay. Well, I've got that one on the air. There's another letter. All right. We said, shamelessly, because this is a ratings period for all of our wonderful affiliates, we're going to do, that's right, folks, sex and drugs. Because all of this political stuff ultimately doesn't have the appeal in the American popular culture like sex and drugs, particularly sex, right? So there's been this study that finds that 1 in 5 youths have had sex before age 15.
Really?
Yeah. 20% of the adolescents have had sexual intercourse before their 15th birthday, and 1 in 7 of the sexually experienced 14-year-old girls has been pregnant, according to a report by the National Campaign to Prevent Teen Pregnancy. So what's all this mean? First, well, I don't know. I don't know if you want to have a go at it. What I would like to know is, what is the difference, say, between now and 5 years ago, 50 years ago, right? I mean, who knows?
I don't know. I mean, I was raised by my mother, you know, basically was pretty conservative and told me, you know, not to be letting those boys mess around with me in high school.
Don't let them touch.
So I was a good girl, may I say. And, you know, I guess fear works. But I worry about the young women, especially. I worry about them.
Well, in what sense?
Well, I'm concerned that they are not being authentic with themselves. And I know a lot of women find happiness in a connection with a boy. And you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You know,
well,
and maybe not the healthiest thing.
Well, you were from like a middle class family, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I wonder what the, how, I don't know if I didn't, I read the, pretty much through the article. Yeah, this is, I didn't know. This is only 2 pages. I can read those. My ADD doesn't click in until after 4 pages. But it doesn't say anything about class in here. So I wonder how much of this is rooted in the poor. I mean, whether 40% of poor girls have had sex before 15, and only 8% of, say, wealthy families, and 11% of, like, middle-class families, for instance.
I don't know. A lot of the girls, when I was even in high school in the late 70s and early 80s were pretty loose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were pretty. I was always amazed.
I'm amazed that it's only 20%. We have a culture that's dripping with sexuality.
Yeah,
that this true. That this wouldn't be presented, given the cultural imaging that and this constant tittering and discussion of everything, tittering
and the Britney Spears,
the Britney Spears,
the world of the half shirts now, everything really is sexually laden.
And even going down into you know, like 8 and 9 year olds, I saw some television program without the sound, and I wondered, what is this? And it was like some little girl, like 8 or 9 year old, made up real sexy, and she was just bumping and grinding, and I'm going, whoa, what is going on here?
They do that on those silly talk shows. Once in a while, happen by one, and the, you know, the little girls are 8 years old. I'm hot, and I don't give a what you think, and blah blah. You know, it really is disturbing.
Hmm. Yeah, it is. Study found only about a third of the parents of sexually experienced 14-year-olds knew that their children had sex, while most of the parents said they had spoken to their young adolescent children about it. Let's see. 18% of the sexually experienced young people reported drinking regularly, compared with 3% of virgins. 29% of the sexually experienced adolescents said they smoked regularly, and 43% had used marijuana, compared with 8 and 10% of the virgins.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. Why am I laughing? Why am I laughing?
I don't know.
Listen, I'm sure there's some smoke and drinking virgins out there, too.
But I can't believe that there's a one of us that didn't know, you know, girls when we were in high school and wherever that were sexually active. I don't know.
I did. I knew women who were.
And I don't know how they're portrayed or conceived of. When I was there, they were bad girls.
They were the sluts.
Yeah, we didn't even have that word then.
Well, you know.
Yeah, that was back before then. But they were bad girls or what I'm trying to
or
think.
Tramps.
Well, tramps, yeah. And yet the guys were always anxious to go out with them.
Well, go figure.
Yeah. So what was that? Well, there's always this ambivalence, Madonna and whore, you know? I mean,
right?
Which do you want? And
or what was it that Jerry Hall said, you know, Mick Jagger's ex?
Yeah.
She said, "You need to be a maid in the rest. Wait, see, a maid in the kitchen and a whore in the bedroom, or something like that. Someone could straighten me up." That was just, come on, Jerry.
Yeah, yeah.
So she finally left his cheating butt.
Well, yeah. Well, that's Mick.
Yeah.
Sarah Brown, the director of the campaign, which is a nonprofit, nonpartisan group. It's called National Campaign to Prevent Teen Pregnancy. She said, "This is a wake-up call that the efforts that we make towards young people have to start early. That teachers looking at a class of 13-year-olds can't assume that they're in a state of innocence." So I don't know. Actually, did we have Sarah Brown on once? Because one might assume immediately this is some conservative end of the sex police. Remember, you're just reading 1984, just read it, right?
Right.
So you remember the sex police trying to suppress sexuality,
yes,
in general, and mainly calling for abstinence before marriage. Why don't you get married when you're 28 or how old were you, if I may ask, if you want to? How old were you? Can you tell us that, or is that an impolite question?
What?
The impolite question to ask you, how old were you when before you got married?
Before I got married?
Yeah.
Well, the first time.
Oh, yeah, there was a first time. Never mind.
I was in my early 20s, and then this last time was about almost 5 years ago, so 32.
I don't even know if I want to continue with this line of questioning. Let's.
What else do you need to know?
Well, I mean, it's kind of absurd. Say.
Everyone's different.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, if we respect, at least I think I can say we, in this case you and I, respect all sexual choices, including abstinence. Right?
Yeah.
If someone says, "I don't want to have sex before marriage," fine. I don't care.
Go ahead.
They do.
Don't.
But I don't know what the consequences are of people being sexually active before they're married. If they're like in their, I know people, I know a guy's just getting married at 40 for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
They expect that he's going to be sexually abstinent?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Since he's 40?
That's asking a little much.
Yeah.
That's a little repressive.
So I'm not sure what's going on here. I think actually the really what this group is all about, unless I miss my guess, that they really are doing what they want to say, prevent teen pregnancy. You know, that they don't want kids getting pregnant. So how do you do it? You could tell them it's probably not a good idea to have a sex when you're 13. And it's certainly not good to have it unprotected.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Do they give What do? You give 14-year-old girls condoms
or
pills? Or do you just say, don't ever even think about, because apparently that doesn't work 20% of the time. I don't know where I'm going with this. I can't make any decision. Neither of us are parents, and I know it's a hard task when you're when you live in the world you do. You want to tell your child to have a sensible attitude towards sexuality as
right.
you're developing, and now of course the older you get, the younger 13 and 14 and 15 and even 16 and 17 year olds seem, right?
Isn't it true?
Yeah.
Oh.
So it is. Let's see. Okay. By the way, somebody just wrote in to tell us that it's Fahrenheit 451, which is the temperature at which paper burns. But the name of Michael Moore's new film is Fahrenheit 911. Yeah.
Right.
Fahrenheit 451 is a famous story by Ray Bradbury.
Right.
Yeah.
I read all this the other day.
No, did you? All right. Here's Dean from Santa Fe. Dean, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome, and thanks for listening to KTRC.
Well, thanks, and thanks for coming out here last week.
Oh, it was great.
Great to see you.
Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned 451 because I pulled that book out today. I'm going on a field trip with my son for 3 days, and it was with his class, and we're going on to southern New Mexico. And that's the book I pulled off my shelf to read. Fahrenheit 451.
So. Scary book.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but, it's one that, 1984 should probably be read by a lot more people.
Yeah, Bradbury was an amazing writer. Hey, Dean, before you get into things, let me do this. Let me put you back on hold because
okay.
we have a break coming and we can take you right after that. All right, please join us. Hey, I said sex and drugs. We only got to the sex.
Well, we still have time.
We still have time for drugs. All right, we'll talk to Dean, and if we have some time left, we'll talk about drugs. This is how our money is being spent by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. They're talking $1 billion to continue this absolutely worthless propaganda campaign against drugs. I'm Peter Werby. Jalene Jordan's with me. You can join us at 1-800-TALK-YES. We'll be right back.
You want your son to be a doctor, so you've got to get him to his SAT course on time. You probably want to whip up something quick for dinner. Think fast. Think eggs. Like a microwave egg casserole with ham and cheese. It's delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes. So your son makes it to his course, gets into med school, and you get free medical care for the rest of your life. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
Hey, what are you doing to get in shape for the summer?
Lots of sit-ups, man.
Spinning, baby.
Cutting down on the donuts.
Whatever you're doing to get in shape for the summer, make sure you get your Toyota in shape for summer driving. Bring it into your Toyota dealer before you hit the road. You'll get the very best service performed by Toyota-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts.
I am walking to work. Of course, I work out of my house.
Make an appointment with your Toyota dealer today and log on to toyota.com/owners for valuable service special coupons.
Philip. Constance.
Oh, Philip, I can't take this anymore. I want to be free.
You mean you want to be free of me, the kids, and the dirty laundry?
No.
Oh.
I want to be free of overnight laxatives that give me cramps.
Darling, that means Freelax.
What's so different about Freelax?
It's the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just 2 caplets.
If I take Freelax tonight, I'll get relief before the kids start fighting over breakfast?
Depend on it. Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives, laxative. Use only as directed.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Chris from New Mexico, welcome to Animal Talk. What's up?
I have a neighbor decided to release 12 piranha into a river up here in northern New Mexico. But I'm wondering, I think that's a crime, isn't it?
It's not a crime, but it's a dumb idea.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You don't want the fish cops coming after you. Let me know.
But, I mean, could South American piranha survive?
Not in northern New Mexico. And as soon as he dumped the fish in there, they went into shock. They were dead. Now, there are people who have released piranha in Florida, and they are in the canals. They are actually breeding and growing, and Florida is turning into the piranha state.
But would you blame me if I don't go wading for a little while?
Don't worry about it. The only problem is that if you go wading, wear waders, because if not, your lucky charms are not going to be the same size they were when you get out of the water.
Thank you for the visual. And, I'll talk to you later.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
I saw him on TV last night in a suit of somber blue. He said it's time for all Americans to do what we must do. So take out your X-ray glasses and your decoder rings. We need ordinary people to keep an eye on things. So I want to be in Ashcroft's army. I want to be a spy. I want to watch my neighbor's doings. Kiss your rights goodbye. In this legal devolution, a perfect time for retribution. Let's just can the Constitution. I want to be a spy.
The Peter Werby Show. 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937.
I like that. I'm forgetting who's done all that, though, Jalene Jordan. And we'll go back to Dean in Santa Fe, listen to KTRC. But people are overwhelming us with emails at calltalkyes@yahoo.com about Mel Gibson. And apparently he's dropped out of the movie, the Michael Moore movie.
Oh.
And we'll get to that. And also, we're still trying to figure out who killed Jesus.
Oh, geez.
Oh, geez. All right. Let's go back to Dean in Santa Fe. Dean, Peter Werby, Jalene Jordan, you're on the air.
Well, Peter, I was listening to the conversation about the sex, sexuality, and so on. And it also brought up in my mind drugs. And you know, drugs have been a part of human consciousness for as far back as anyone can remember, really, if you study the history of consciousness and so forth. And I remember reading in one of these books I've seen here that in those cultures where, like the Kogi in Colombia, where they the priesthood uses the coca and the lime together, and they kind of constantly take part in it because part of their religious ritual, the Great Mother worship. But in those cultures where there is a kind of open, established use of various consciousness enhancers, the apparently the children really don't use them until the bond is so strong with the adults and so forth, and the family structure or whatever, the tribal structure, that the children don't really use them in some sort of unauthorized way. They really do respect the bounds or the parameters in which the drugs are suggested to be used, and usually they're revolve around religious rituals.
Not like 14-year-olds just getting high after school by themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, I think the parents nowadays, and I'm a parent of young children, and I went to the 60s, you know, I'm an old hippie and all that stuff, and certainly, you know, participated, but I'm just wondering if parents today aren't in really ideal shape, providing they stay connected with their kids to you know, if they don't BS them and they're forthright, but not at the same time encouraging, but act like parents, and yet with the knowledge that you know, kids are going to look into things. But
great advice. Hey, we're out of time for this segment. Thanks a lot, Dean.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate it. We'll be back with the definitive. Story that's about it. Michael Moore. Yeah, we got someone who just saw Michael Moore 5 minutes ago, got an email from them. And who killed Jesus, Romans or the Jews? And what difference does it make? But we'll tell you all about that when we come back. Peter Werby and Jalene
Another
Jordan.
Show.
Yes. Hang on.
You've been listening to The Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Jalene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, yes, I was
know.
Expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Steffens, good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Marna Woken. The nation still has a long way to go in guarding against more terrorist attacks on U.S. soil. That's what Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge told a congressional panel today. His appearance before lawmakers follows a new alert issued by the FBI to law enforcement agencies throughout the country. It warns of likely terrorist attacks in the U.S. In Saudi Arabia, the threat of an imminent attack has led to the closing of the U.S. Embassy and its missions in the Gulf state until at least May 25th. Britain now says it will also close its embassy to Saudi Arabia due to credible information about possible imminent attacks. The director of the Centers for Disease Control says the importance of public health in the U.S. can be seen in the recent global SARS outbreak. Speaking at the commencement ceremony of the University of Minnesota School of Public Health, Julie Geberding said SARS has been a low-level threat in the U.S. compared to other nations.
I think it is a testimony to the importance of the public health system in this country that we have been able to do so well with this epidemic so far, when so many countries have truly struggled with a lack of containment and the devastating consequences that this can produce in individual people as well as communities.
She says those entering public health should work hard to curb obesity and the use of tobacco. The state is suing two charities that claim to raise money for Vietnam veterans. Attorney General Richard Blumenthal says nearly all of the money collected for Connecticut Vietnam veterans and Vietnam Veterans of America has been misused.
We're suing these supposed Vietnam veterans groups because they have been misusing money that was collected from contributors who wanted to support veterans' causes.
Blumenthal says of the $1.5 million raised by the two groups since 1997, 86% went to the telemarketers making the phone calls. The remaining dollars were spent on personal items such as liquor, cigarettes, lingerie, internet dating services, and eyeglasses. We'll have more in a moment.
You mean I could have diabetes and not even know it?
Then why would I want to know?
Heart disease, amputations, stroke, blindness, kidney disease. They all can be caused by diabetes, so it's critical that you know if you have it. But what makes diabetes so scary? Many people don't know when they have it, because there are often no symptoms. Meanwhile, diabetes can be causing damage that will lead to serious problems later on. If you're over 45, you don't exercise, and you're overweight, you're at risk for diabetes. What should you do? See your doctor, because a simple blood test can detect the problem. And with early treatment, you can prevent the devastating effects of diabetes. For more information, call the American Diabetes Association at 1-800-DIABETES. That's 1-800-DIABETES. Don't be blind to diabetes.
Oklahoma City bombing conspirator Terry Nichols is expected to enter a plea today on state murder charges stemming from the deadly 1995 explosion. Nichols has been ordered to stand trial on 162 counts of murder for his role in the bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building. The murder charges include the deaths of two unborn babies whose mothers were killed in the blast. Nichols is currently serving a federal life sentence for the killings of eight federal agents in the blast. Timothy McVeigh was executed for his role in the terrorist attack. We'll have more in just a moment.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
A lawsuit filed against the world's second-largest cruise operator claims passengers were cheated. The suit names two Florida women as plaintiffs. It charges Royal Caribbean added $150 million in phony taxes to passenger bills to compensate it for cheap fares. An attorney says the practice began in early 2001 and continues to this day. He's seeking class action status for the lawsuit filed in state court in Miami, Florida. It would allow him to seek damages on behalf of over 5.7 million people. A spokeswoman for Miami-based Royal Caribbean says the company believes there is no basis for the lawsuit. And the producer of the Matrix films wants to make it clear the movies are just fantasy. Joel Silver responded to stories of accused killers who are using the movies as part of their defense. Three suspected killers have reportedly acted out real-life crimes to escape the Matrix, a computer-generated world controlled by machines. Two of them have pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity. They're using what is called the Matrix defense. I'm Marna Woken, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. They say history repeats itself. World War I, World War II, Rocky I, II, III, IV, and V. But when we come back, I'll share with you some automotive history about a certain bug's life.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered a company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com.
A Bug's Life could be the autobiography of the VW Beetle, which made history twice. It was originally named KDF Wagon, aptly meaning strength through joy. This odd-shaped little car, brainchild of Dr. Ferdinand Porsche, was designed with the backing of Adolf Hitler, who announced its birth at a Berlin exhibition in 1938. Out of production for almost 20 years, the VW was reborn in 1998. Its popularity with baby boomers and Gen Xers ensures life long into the 21st century. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us!
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Daring to connect the dots, it's the Peter Werby Show. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome, everybody. Man, have we been having the controversy. I know you're not going to believe this. This is a political show. Let me bring in Jalene Jordan, first of all. Hi, Jalene. We're trying to figure out who killed Jesus.
I know.
Yeah, it's like, who killed Roger Rabbit? Remember that?
Who framed Roger Rabbit, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I've never read the Bible, really, but I've seen a couple movies. I don't know if I've seen the movies. Isn't Charlton Heston always in them?
Yeah, the Ten Commandments, you mean?
Or something. Yeah. No, that's Ten Commandments can't be about Jesus.
Well,
that's a little before him.
He's in...
Heston is. Heston or Jesus?
Heston.
Okay. We're talking about sex and drugs. A study came out by the National Campaign to Prevent Teen Pregnancy saying that 20% of adolescents have had sexual intercourse before their 15th birthday, and the report said this is a wake-up call. I'm wondering whether this is anything new, whether this has always been kind of across the board. Also about a culture that's just dripping in sex that kind of is dangled out there but never realized to the point where, what did we learn, what's the guy's name? Eric Schlosser, I think, has his book out now called Reefer Madness that talks about pornography being this multi-billion dollar business to the extent that that it dwarfs professional sports in terms of income. So it means that although we have this presentation, this representation of sexuality, it must not be being realized, or people wouldn't need all these kind of celluloid or digital representations of it, right?
Yeah, that's true. Maybe a lot of lonely people.
Maybe a lot of people
not getting what they want.
Yeah, I'm not putting it down, you know, and I'm because it is a lot of times, and that's it. We have
Did
this.
I tell you, I met a porn star.
Really, man or woman?
Woman.
Yeah.
I was getting my hair done, and my friend slash hair person. I said, look, did you see that woman? Oh, my God. She goes, remember when I told you that women can make a lot of money in the porn industry? And I said, yeah. She goes, that's one right there. In fact, she is Howard Stern's hot dog girl, whatever that means.
What is hot dog girl? I don't even want to go there. Right.
I don't want to know.
I don't think women. I think in the main, because there are. What did we? Gee, I wish I had all those figures in front of me. Millions of porn tapes out there. Millions of women involved in this. Almost probably, probably 90% in their 20s, and they. I've interviewed pornographers, and they generally make $200 to $400 a shoot.
No, I don't know. This woman does lots of really kind of.
But do we want to go here?
Things.
What?
So yes. I think the kinkier you are, the more money you make. And from what I understand, she's pretty kinky. But you should have seen this woman. She was plastic from head to toe.
Yeah, so we're talking about kinky sex and who killed Jesus. Who's doing that? All right.
It's not me.
Also, Mel Gibson. All right, let's settle up that. We got a couple people calling and want to talk to us, so let's do that. 1-800-TALK-YES. This is from Tara. She's at Sarah Lawrence College in Bronxville, New York. That's, in New York City. She says, Peter, I just heard Michael Moore speak 5 minutes ago. Literally, he gave the senior student lecture at Sarah Lawrence College where I work. Mel Gibson dropped the project, that is the new film showing the connection between the Bushes and the Bin Ladens. It's called Fahrenheit 911. So Miramax picked it up. According to Moore, the White House called Mel Gibson and asked him not to do it, and Gibson complied. But the project is still happening, thank goodness. Peace, says Tara.
Peace to you.
All right, so that clears that up. Let's go to Robin in Boulder, Colorado. He knows who killed Jesus. Thank you for calling 1-800-TALK-YES. Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan with you.
You bet. This is from my misspent youth in a fundamentalist Bible college.
Okay.
In case you're wondering. So what happened is the Jews wanted, the Jewish rulers wanted Jesus dead.
The conservatives. Right.
Well, it's even, this is the myth. Okay. So they had the Romans go pick him up, bring him before the Sanhedrin. They wanted to execute him. They supposedly didn't have the power to execute him. So they asked basically Herod to do it. He refused, so they sent him off to Pilate, who was the Roman controller of the area. Herod says, I don't have any power to, I don't see any fault in him, so I don't want him executed. But the Jews were so insistent that he agreed to let them execute him, although the Roman soldiers actually did the deed.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole myth was to take the onus off of the Romans, who they needed at the time when the church was expanding, and put it on the Jews.
But wait a minute. They had to have him die for redemption. I mean, this was all part of it. I mean, God, if he's omniscient, knew all this was going to happen. In fact, it was all kind of planned out ahead of time. So the Jews really provided a service for the whole development of the process of redemption, right? I mean, if they wouldn't have killed him, no one ever would have heard of him.
Right, and that gets into the whole mythology. I mean, you'd think that they'd put Judas up as the hero, right?
Yeah.
Because he turned him over. But it just doesn't work that way.
What do we call it? He dropped a dime on him, as we say, in the big city. Yeah.
So basically, the Romans did the execution under the Jews' request.
And but again, it just like people say across the world that they don't hate or dislike Americans, they hate the American government or they hate the American president. In the same way, this can't be some blood libel attached to Jewish people, particularly today. I mean, that's insanity, isn't
yeah.
it?
Well, if you look, the Bible was written, I mean, especially the later stuff was written to blame the Jews. You know, they said on the, they supposedly said on the, when they sent Jesus to die, they said, let his blood be on us and our children.
Mm-hmm.
Now, no Jew would ever say that.
Yeah.
But that's simply the Christians trying to blame the Jews and free the Romans from that responsibility.
Well, thanks for all that, Robin.
You bet.
Wait, stay with me. I just got this email. This is from Dan in Long Island. He wrote into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. He says, I've studied a lot about Jesus in that time period. There's a book, a good book called Holy Blood, Holy Grail, that raises some good points about who killed Jesus. According to that book, because the Gospels were written many years after Jesus and were written at a time when the early Christian church was trying to survive Roman rule, the writers of the Gospels had to write the story in a way that wouldn't get them killed. So they took the blame off the Romans for Jesus' death and put it on the Pharisees and the strict Jews of the day.
That's very true.
Okay. Thank you so.
All right.
I appreciate it. Thanks for joining us at 1-800-TALK-YES. Let me see if there's more here. Okay, this is back to Mel Gibson. This is from Barbara in Royal Oak, Michigan. Mel Gibson is a weird guy. His father emigrated to Australia to keep his sons out of the Vietnam draft, but he is a wacko Catholic. Gibson's movie will be entirely in Aramaic. Or I think that's, she has Aramaic. I think it's Aramaic, to keep it authentic. Now, this is the story about the last hours of Christ, so it's going to be this. This is pretty weird. Do people speak Aramaic? He professed to dislike homosexuality, but his best friends in Hollywood are Jodie Foster and Robert Downey Jr. Are they gay? You know this. You know this stuff, Jalene. Jalene, are you with
me? Yeah, I'm here.
Is your gaydar on?
With who?
Jodie Foster and Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, with Jodie Foster for sure. Yeah. All my lesbian friends know that.
Okay. It seems he's personally conservative. This is Mel Gibson, but politically a little more left than that. Nobody who was in Air America can be completely to the right. Oh, yeah, that was that film. You're having too much fun.
Oh,
here's,
I hate that movie.
Really. Here's Freddie in Woodstock, New York. Freddie, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
How are you, Peter?
Good.
Long time no talk.
Yeah, well, welcome back.
Here's something that might stir your listeners a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of information, a couple of books out about the fact that Jesus actually didn't die on the cross.
Yeah, there is a number. There's a number of books out that say that Jesus never existed as an historical figure.
Well, there's actually even evidence in the Bible that he didn't. A couple of things. First of all, they never crucify people on the Sabbath because they have to be on the cross for 24 hours to die. So that's part of it.
Wait a minute. I thought they took him down because the Sabbath was approaching.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And it takes 24 hours for someone to die on the cross.
And you know what you
die?
That's
why they supposedly stuck him with the spear.
You know what you die of when you're crucified?
Suffocation.
Suffocation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can't breathe. It's true. But here's the real key. This all you Christians out there should look this up. Go and look at when Mary and Mary Magdalene go running to the tomb. What are they carrying? It says they're carrying certain herbs. Look at what the herbs are. They're aloe vera is one of the herbs. Aloe. That's a healing herb.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an embalming herb. You know, the missing 18 years when Jesus, like, disappeared for 18 years.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk about the fact that he was traveling up through India and Tibet and met with all the different Buddhists and Hindus and yogis. Now, there are yogis that can do what they call death trance, where they stop their pulse. They stop, you know, they basically leave their body and then come back, you know, 6 days later.
I've heard it.
And this is documented. There are scientists who, you know, watched them do it.
Mm-hmm. Are you with him? Yeah.
And wow. the point here is, I think that's what he did. I think he did a little death trance. They took him to the cave. Apparently, there was an entrance. The cave was under Peter of Arimathea's house, and there was an entrance from the cave into the house. So I think they all escaped and went up north. And there's actually a tomb up in Kashmir which people insist is the tomb of Jesus, and he died there of an old age.
Well, I'll tell you one thing with mythology and religious mythology. Trying to locate it frequently in any positive historical terms is always not the easiest thing to do. Freddie, glad to get all that information, though. Thanks a lot.
That was,
I appreciate
fascinating.
It was indeed. Here's James number 12. Listen to KTRC in Santa Fe. And what are you going to say, that I was part of this abolish the spear movement back in that era, James?
I think you need to stop putting down people because they're just really right-wing and conservative and stuff like that. Okay. I think basically if you're going to be open-minded, sensitive, and tolerant, and liberal, you got to be a lot more accepting of a lot more people that don't agree with what you believe in. I mean, there are people like the Amish who are the most morally conservative people in the entire world, yet they are the most socially liberal people in the entire world. You can also say that the Catholic Charities are the same way. They're incredibly socially they're incredibly morally conservative and incredibly socially liberal, because anytime you have a soup kitchen out there or a homeless shelter, it always starts with saint something or other.
Well, if I had my way, I probably would get rid of all of those categories of liberal and conservative and just see, you know, how people work in the world. But, you know, they are fairly convenient. You know what I always say, James, if the shoe doesn't fit, don't wear it.
There you go.
Okay, there you go. Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate it. It's number 12. Here's Ken in Massachusetts. That's his cab number, by the way.
I know. Yeah.
Hey, I was wondering about that James 12 there.
Yeah.
I thought maybe it was a biblical reference.
Yeah, like what did the Nation of Islam used to have, like James number 12 and all that or something. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well,
you're on the air.
Considering how bad my phone probably sounds, I tend to wonder about that last guy, because it sounded like he had a bunch of mad bees in the background or
well,
something.
Well, he's a cab driver in Santa Fe, so he was on a cell phone.
Ah, that makes sense. Yeah. Well, that's what this is. Anyway, even if we were to agree that the Jews, quote-unquote, killed Jesus, isn't it kind of beside the point because he was a Jew?
Yeah, that's okay, I guess. But and what about what I said? He had to be killed, or the whole working out of this plan that Jesus died for our sins wouldn't have worked. Hey, Ken, we're up against a break right now. You got more? Should I put you on hold or
go ahead and head for your break?
Okay, thank you, sir.
See you later. Bye.
I appreciate it. Yeah. So what are we talking about? Sex? We're talking about religion? We're not supposed to talk about these things on talk shows. Let's talk a little about drugs when we come back. We've got a guest at 33 minutes after the hour as well. We're going to talk about press coverage of Iraq. Boy, did it stink. Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan.
Max, I can't go on anymore. I want to be free.
You want to be free of Hollywood, the glamour, the fame?
No, I want to be free of overnight liquid laxatives that taste like I'm drinking chalk.
Well, that's easy, baby. Take Freelax. It's the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just 2 caplets.
Ooh, are you sure I'll be free of constipation before my early morning flight to the coast?
Depend on it. Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives. Laxative.
Oh, Max.
Use only as directed.
Get to the Goodyear Hardworking Tire Sale and save big on selected Goodyear brand tires. And for limited time, get up to a $50 gift card for the Home Depot with the purchase of 4 selected Goodyear tires. So stop in today for the Goodyear Hardworking Tire Sale and get up to a $50 gift card for the Home Depot. But hurry, these offers end June 7th. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR for complete details and the retailer nearest you. Or visit a participating location where quality Goodyear tires are sold. Goodyear is not affiliated with the Home Depot.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
What a wonderland world it is in Washington.
Wrong can be right, down can be up, a lie can be truth, all because the president says it's so. Our present president seems to love to lie. Not because George W. likes doing wrong, but because lies simplify his life, turning his confusion into clarity. I think he even believes his lies when he speaks them. And when he gets caught lying, hey, that's in the past. It's just a technicality. And besides, it depends on how you define truth. Well, how about the big truth of WMDs? Where are those weapons of mass destruction that George W. so absolutely insisted Saddam Hussein had targeted at the U.S., posing the imminent threat that was his moral excuse for invading Iraq? It's a scream to watch the Bushites now try to squirm out of the inconvenient reality that they found no masses of WMDs in Iraq. Lately, they tried to claim every slingshot, trailer, empty casing, and barbecue pit that they come across as proof of Saddam's WMD program. But when launching his Iraq attack, George didn't talk about such small stuff. He spoke specifically about a mushroom cloud that Saddam would ignite in America. The Bushites also flatly asserted that Saddam had 500 tons of mustard gas, 25,000 liters of anthrax, 30,000 rockets to deliver chemical weapons, dozens of Scud missiles, 18 biological warfare factories, all sorts of long-range missiles and other WMDs that now can't be found. First, they claimed that Saddam hid them, then that he took them with him. How? In his backpack? But now the Bushites say it doesn't matter. We kick Saddam's butt, and that's all anyone needs to know. Doesn't matter? The president blatantly lied to we the people, and it's okay? What moral message are the Bushites sending to America's children and the people of the world? This is Jim Hightower saying, lies don't make truth, even if a president says they do.
We're back. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call Peter at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
All right, thanks a lot, and welcome back. Jalene Jordan, welcome back to you as well.
Why, thank you.
Are you opening email as well?
I did open a couple.
Oh, that's okay.
It's okay. Because you beg me to do it.
Yeah, any of those you want to read? Because, you opened that one. Look how big it is. That could have been a virus.
Oh, no.
You know what I'm saying? Look over to the right and see how big it is?
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't get those. We get those every once in a while because I saw, let's not even describe really, but what the addressee is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, what was in there when you opened it? Can you?
You know, I don't even have it right up anymore. I just took it.
But it wasn't. Actually, the subject matter is darling.
Yeah, there was nothing there.
And when it's that big, yeah, you know what? I don't understand how those work if they are a virus, because usually what you have to do is open the attachment, right?
There's nothing there.
There's just nothing there. We get those frequently. They're always between like 124K and 132K. And I don't know why I'm being secretive. It says Drudge is the, and that's probably after like the Drudge report. And then the subject is darling. And also, I have no address book on this. On this address, calltalkyes@yahoo.com, so it can't invade it and then, you know, go through it.
Oh, that's good.
So I have opened a few of these myself without looking over to the right and seeing what size they are. But that's pretty amazing. So do you have Who Killed Jesus up there?
No, not anymore.
All right. Don't forget that Jesus and all of his disciples were Jewish. To be politically correct, you could say that Jesus was killed by the religious elite of the day who happened to be Jewish. Yeah. The Romans administered the event, but it was instigated by the temple chiefs and the high priests. This is from John, who writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. But that, I think, was best said by someone earlier who said that Jesus was killed by the conservatives of the day, and he was a liberal. He went among the poor, right? And a lot of his acts, of course, were. All right, so we did sex, religion, and drugs, and I just hinted at this before. There's language in the congressional legislation to reauthorize that Office of National Drug Policy Control. That's what they call the drug czar.
Yes.
It contains a provision earmarking an additional $1.02 billion to continue funding the ONDCP's notorious National Youth Anti-Drug Media Campaign. Now, you hear those on the IE America Radio Network, and if you're wondering why we're running those, we're being paid to run them. So should we just whore out? I mean, what the hell? I say yeah. I mean, it pays our salaries.
It's true.
This is a commercial network. Some people say, why do you play commercials? Well, because it's a commercial network, and we don't have fundraising drives.
Yeah, that's true.
There is a difference there. The campaign, you remember, was launched in 1998. It uses taxpayer dollars and matching funds to pay for print and television ads, many of which greatly exaggerate the potential harm of marijuana, and particularly, I would
linking
say, and other drugs.
Terrorism. Drug.
Yeah, linking it. Yeah. So it's those extraordinarily stupid ads, and they've done these studies that show that these do no good whatsoever. So here's another $1 billion of our money. And as I always say, they're closing schools in Detroit. They're closing firehouses in New York City. They're laying off teachers in California. And they're spending $1 billion telling kids not to smoke flowers.
Yeah. Could I buy some pot from you?
And it doesn't even work. Sure, I'll meet you after. Let's see. Here we had some information about this. Last November, a federally funded review of the campaign by Westat Incorporated determined that the ads failed to discourage viewers from trying marijuana and other drugs. So it's a complete failure. And yet they're spending another $1 billion of our tax dollars. And I forgot about this, and I can't remember whether I said it yesterday or not. But they just did this study that shows that that all the drug testing, when you're actually testing kids at some of these schools, that doesn't even deter drug use.
Well, they go to the little store and they get the stuff that cleans them out.
Yeah, or they get they can get samples of drug-free urine.
Yeah, of other people's
powdered. Powdered.
Oh.
Yeah, no less. And then you have to reconstitute it.
Hey.
I know you're going to thank me for sharing that with you.
Hey now.
Yeah, so all of this is a fraud. The war on drugs is a fraud, just like much of the war on terrorism is a fraud. It's just this extraordinary ripoff. We're paying the cost. It's a racket, folks. All right, Jillian, we have somebody from Fairness and Accuracy in reporting.
We do, Steve Rendell.
Oh, yeah,
Fair's
Steve Rendell.
Senior analyst. He's also co-host of Counterspin, their very own national radio show.
And we're going to talk about the coverage of the invasion and occupation of Iraq. What a disaster. Peter Werbe, 1-800-TALK-YES. We'll be right back.
We in the mix for Twix, baby. Here's the mix. Ed, I'm going to tell you right now, all from state to state, it's all about the mix.
You understand? That's how it's going down. Ed Love and Dr. Drake style. Rolling through the streets, just doing my thing. I need the Twix to keep me in the mix, in the swing. When I want to stay real good in the mix.
Come on, y'all.
Rolling through the Twix.
You're listening to The Peter Werbe Show. Family Talk with Mike Riera is next on IE America Radio Network.
A movement called community-supported agriculture helps personalize food production and keep small farms in business. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. The average food item in a grocery store has been transported an average of 1,300 miles, more than most people travel in a month. Consumer advocate Cynthia Barstow says people can cut that fuel consumption by redirecting their food budget to the local community. Barstow says one option is called community-supported agriculture, or CSA. Consumers buy a stake in the annual harvest from a nearby farm.
You know, a CSA works very simply where you pay a certain amount of money up front at the beginning of the season, so the farmer has the money when he needs it the most to buy seed and to buy the things that he needs to cultivate the crops.
Barstow says community-supported agriculture creates business opportunities for smaller farms. Barstow is the author of a book called The Eco-Foods Guide. She's especially enthusiastic about community farms. Consumers that buy a share get a weekly box of fresh-off-the-farm produce starting in May or June. Members also get to know the people who grow the food, and they can get out onto the land. Barstow says most community farms have special days when members can visit and pick their own produce.
It's just this amazing opportunity to experience a farm without having to be a farmer yourself, to get that dirt under your fingernails and experience the earth and experience the fact that food comes from the earth.
Barstow sees a growing role for community-supported agriculture. The movement started in New England in 1986, and it's grown to more than 1,000 farms across the country. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Here's Naomi listening to KTRC in Santa Fe. Hi, Naomi. Welcome.
I'm calling about an article. It says, new law says high schools must cooperate with Pentagon on recruiting. Every school must give them the name, phone number, and address of all students ages 15 and 16. School systems that fail to comply could lose federal money. They've got a gun to their head. And I'm 88 years old, and I am just pissed off.
I'm here to tell you, honey.
The Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
And joining Naomi, George Thorogood and those Delaware Destroyers, right? Hey, just got this from Jamel. Thanks for sending this. You know, there was a big right-wing campaign. How do these, don't these guys ever sleep? Don't they just do ordinary things? All they're doing is spending their time attacking people on the left. And there was this great pressure from this campaign of people on the right to get Danny Glover's fired as a spokesperson for MCI. And MCI has just announced it ain't going to happen. They're keeping Danny Glover. That's great. Let's welcome Steve Rendell. Steve Rendell's been on the program a number of times before. He's a senior analyst with Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. Steve, welcome back to the Peter Werby Show.
It's good to be back, Peter.
And we want to look at media and how it performed during the run-up to the invasion of Iraq. And a lot of us were saying, gee, we're not getting the full story. And, of course, the conservatives were saying, what are you talking about? The media is just dominated by these liberals like Peter Jennings giving the Iraqi point of view. The statistics, sort of the dry statistics, don't exactly bear that out, do they?
No, not at all. And Peter, just to make a small correction, the study that I'm on to talk about today began the day after the war started.
Oh, okay.
And looked at six major nightly evening newscasts. The reason that we did this is here at FAIR, we have, we like to imagine what a healthy journalism environment would look like. And that would entail a lot of different qualities, but let's just talk about three as a minimum right now.
Sure.
A healthy journalistic culture would provide a broad debate. I mean, I think we should all agree on that we have a broad debate, especially when the question is war. We also think here that a healthy journalism environment would include a lot of independent, accurate information. And third, just to round out my list, although there's a lot of other important things that journalism should do, we think journalists should be asking tough questions, particularly of those in power.
Mm-hmm.
It's our argument here at FAIR that journalism, mainstream U.S. journalism, falls short of the mark in each of these areas. The study that we've just finished and are about to publish, called Amplifying Officials, Squelching Dissent, FAIR study finds skewed TV coverage of Iraq war. We looked at six major nightly newscasts. That would be ABC World News Tonight, CBS Evening News, NBC Nightly News, CNN's Wolf Blitzer Reports, Fox News Channel's Special Report with Brit Hume, and PBS's NewsHour with Jim Lehrer. And we looked at every on-camera quoted source appearing in all stories about Iraq for a three-week period beginning the day after the war began.
Boy.
That was March 20th through April 9th. There were 1,617 total sources in these stories about Iraq.
Oh, okay. I mean, we talked earlier, Steve Rendell, about getting dazzled by the figures. So I think you were kind of giving me a breather there. But do continue. I mean, I want to hear the
Well, I want to just give a few numbers. I don't want to dizzy people with numbers. But overall, looking at the entire list, that is U.S. sources and foreign sources, everybody who appeared in stories about Iraq, 63% of all sources were current or former government employees.
Boy.
That includes civilian and military, current and former employees of the government or the military. U.S. officials alone accounted for more than half, 52% of all sources. Pro-war voices, pro-war sources made up almost two-thirds of all sources. 64% were pro-war, as either determined by what they said when they were on the shows or the fact that they were on the public record prominently supporting the war, or that they were on the air supporting an institution or a group that was pro-war.
Mm-hmm.
Anti-war voices were pretty scarce. They were 10% of all sources, but that's a little misleading because that 10%, you're including American voices and international voices. That included, for instance, Iraqi officials and officials of the governments of, say, France, Germany, and Russia, who were opposed to it. What's most interesting, I think, is to look at the debate as it took place between American sources. Americans made up 76% of the entire guest list of these six nightly newscasts. When you look just at how the American sources broke down, 68% of American sources were officials. More than two-thirds of them were military. So two out of every three of the official sources were military. The other one, the final third, the third person, was a former or current civilian government employee.
Well, the argument, go ahead, finish up.
Pro-war voices were 71%. Seven out of ten voices were sources were pro-war, and just 3% were anti-war. Now, that 3% overstates. Still, it still overstates the presence of anti-war voices on these six shows, because anti-war sources were almost uniformly quoted in single-sentence sound bites, and that took place, interviews that took place usually on the street at demonstrations. In fact, during this three-week period, none of these six shows ever did a sit-down interview with a person identified as being against the war. On the other hand, pro-war voices, which made up 71% of the U.S. sources, were likely to be long format guests. We included, this would include, of course, those hired Pentagon and former military brass that they hired as military analysts. And if I could just give one example to show how careful,
please,
how meticulous we were in coding these voices, I want to point out there's two military analysts who will be familiar to people who watch a lot of television. One was Wesley Clark, former general, former head of NATO, who was a hired military analyst on CNN throughout the war. The other is former general Barry McCaffrey, who was the hired analyst by NBC. We looked at Wesley Clark and what he said on the air, and we decided that he was not a pro-war voice. He was on the record as being somewhat reticent about the war before the war started, and we could find nothing he said on the air that was explicitly pro-war. He did say, within the context of his duties as a military analyst, he did say he sort of fondly gushed occasionally over the fitness of the young soldiers and their equipment and all that, but he didn't say anything explicitly pro-war. On the other hand, Barry McCaffrey, NBC's hired analyst, among many, of course, each of these networks had several military analysts that they'd retained for money. Barry McCaffrey was listed as pro-war because he's a stalwart and a regular spokesperson for the Committee for a Free Iraq,
mm-hmm.
which is an explicitly pro-war group.
And tied in with Bechtel.
Yes, and yeah. also linked with Ahmed Chalabi, and I mean, it was, you know, very, very pro-war.
In fact, Steve Rendell, and I'm sure you know this, that many of the ex-generals were on boards of weapons manufacturers, so they had a vested interest in this war.
Oh, definitely. In fact, in an excellent little piece in The Nation done by a number of Nation interns, I hope I'm not slighting anybody there. I think they were all Nation interns. They looked into the backgrounds of a number of these, and Barry McCaffrey, the one I've just mentioned who was retained by NBC, actually was praised how well the Abrams tanks and the Bradley fighting vehicles were performing. And he also, at other occasions, called for the need for more of these military vehicles. And as a Nation article pointed out, he sits on the board of one of the major military contractors that produces, at least is a subcontractor for those two, the Bradley and the Abrams vehicles.
You know, Steve Rendell, if I wasn't such a patriot, I'd swear this was all a racket, you know. But I know better. I know better. Let's continue on. Steve Rendell, senior analyst with Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. You can see the whole study at FAIR, FAIR.org, and I'll have this on my website later in the day at Peter Werbe, W-E-R-B-E, PeterWerbe.com. Let's talk a little about the anti-war voices. In fact, if this may be nitpicking, the only objection I would take, or maybe I should say more of a reservation to the statistics, that you say at a time when 27% of the U.S. public opposed the war, and I think to a large extent that diminishes how many people actually were against the war. Because remember, Steve, when you would get a little deeper into so-called pro-war sentiment, it really didn't sound very pro-war. People thought that the Bush administration shouldn't go into this unilaterally, and if you started taking it apart, the opposition in different spoken in different manners was.
I agree with you, Peter. I agree. This number, the 27%, was taken. We looked to polls that were happening at the exact same time that our 3-week study was taking place, and there was a Gallup CNN USA Today poll, the three media outlets joined together to do a poll that showed that 27% of the U.S. public, while the war was underway, were opposed to it. Now, that is a very surfacey, number. I think it's useful for what we're doing here because, at FAIR, we're trying to appeal to both activists and mainstream journalists at the same mm-hmm. time. And if you look at the larger report, I think you probably are just seeing our press release.
Sure.
The larger report cites where the poll came from. And the fact is that actually it wasn't even 3.3% of U.S. sources were anti-war. It was 2.6%, which really means even if you accept this somewhat superficial number of more than one in four Americans were against the war, 27% were against the war, according to this mainstream media poll. If you just accept that without sort of a deeper deconstruction, that means that the percentage of Americans opposing the war was nearly 10 times higher in the real world than it was in the world of television news.
Well, of course, they needed to do this as well. I mean, the idea that we were at war, so it necessitated the press going to war as well, isn't borne out by the experience in Britain, where they had a extraordinarily lively debate, and particularly in the newspapers, but to some extent on their television channels as well. So what we're stuck with, exactly what you're saying, Steve Rendell, in the FAIR report, you had these officious types, government ex-generals, giving all the Bush regime rationales for this war, and then you'd have people like me out there saying no blood for oil. That would be the Democratic debate. Whereas the anti-war sentiment, I believe, was so great in this country, particularly for the war and even during the war, that good journalism necessitated each time that a charge or statement was made by somebody from the Bush government that it should have said anti-war leaders disagree. So and so from MoveOn.org disputed the president's claim that there were weapons of mass destruction. Yada yada. Except this never appeared.
Oh, we're not even getting in. You know, some of these other areas, certainly there was no broad debate, but I mean, FAIR has it's another volume of work to talk about how we weren't given independent and accurate information. There's two little sort of in vitro experiments that are going on all the time. We can look at the debate that was offered by the British media. You had, let's just look at some of the newspapers, against the war. You had the Guardian Observer, you had the Independent, and you had the Mirror.
Mm-hmm.
There were more than that too. Pro-war, you had the Times of London owned by Murdoch. You had the Telegraph and a couple of others, The Sun, for instance, Murdoch, I think.
Amazingly, the Mirror actually would sponsor these enormous million-person anti-war demonstrations in London.
The Mirror was very involved. It's a very populist paper, a little bit scary sometimes, I'm afraid.
Sure,
for my taste. But
you can
but,
see the naked gardeners as well on
yes,
the next
yes,
page.
Exactly.
After, yeah, right.
But I think there's two stories that are very interesting to look at through this light. Imagine this. I think Ari Berman did a great service for American journalism in a piece he did, an editor and publisher, I think it was March 6th perhaps. It may be available online. But what he did was he looked at how poll after poll showed that about half of the American people believed that Saddam Hussein was involved in the terrible bloody attacks of September 11th, 2001. Something around the same number of Americans believe falsely that Iraqis were among the hijackers.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there were none among the hijackers. Now, what Ari Berman points out in Editor and Publisher is this is a catastrophic failure of the U.S. media. That the only place on earth where large numbers of people believe that Baghdad was involved in September 11th or that Iraqis were among the hijackers is the United States. And why is that? He concludes because of the media. I think you'd have a hard time arguing with that.
Well, aren't you? You're being a little kind to him. I mean, when you say it was a failure, I mean, they were compliant. I mean, they dutifully repeated the suggestions and the inaccurate suggestions of the Bush government that there was this involvement.
Oh, time after time after time. In fact, way before the gushing treatment that our media afforded to Colin Powell at his famous or infamous presentation at the UN Security Council on February 5th. We were documenting this here. Back in September and October, the Bush and Blair governments made a lot of claims. They claimed to have located 13 sites in Iraq that were evidence that Iraq had reinstituted its chemical, its biological, and its nuclear weapons manufacturing. And they went on and on about this. They provided, just like Powell would a couple of months later, they provided satellite photos, all kinds of supposed intelligence information. The second, as soon as the inspectors arrived to those 13 quote-unquote sites of concern, they found nothing.
Sure. Steve Rendell.
That context was never included when in the reporting about. It should have been interesting context, compelling context for the reporting on Colin Powell's presentation.
Well, I think increasingly it's getting like Pravda. You just know that the opposite of whatever the medium, as we call it here on this show, says. Steve, we're out of time. Thank you so much. People can see all of this at FAIR.org. Steve Rendell is a senior analyst at Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. They do good work. Check them out. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Thank you for having joined us. We'll be right back with Jalene Jordan. You can join us at 1-800-TALK-YES.
You know, you ought to check your credit report.
But I just don't have time.
I have to clean out the garage.
And take the kids to the doctor.
And balance my checkbook.
And take the dog to the vet.
And mow the lawn.
And do the grocery shopping.
Stop. If you haven't checked your credit report, there's a fast, easy solution. Log on to freecreditreport.com and we'll show you how to find out online what's in your credit report. And get 30 days of our credit check monitoring service free. So don't say,
I'm just too busy.
Log on to freecreditreport.com today.
Honey, what's for dinner?
Hot dogs.
We had hot dogs last night.
Mm-hmm.
And for breakfast today.
Yeah.
And lunch.
I'm playing the French's Mustard Instant Win game. Every bottle has a giveaway. You can win $50,000 instantly or tons of great stuff from Six Flags.
Well, French's is my favorite mustard.
Now it's even better.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. All claims must be postmarked by 12/31/03. Must be legal U.S. resident 18 years to enter. See specially marked packages of French's Mustard or www.frenchesfoods.com for details. Nothing cuts the mustard like French's.
Doug is frugal.
Well,
Money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about somesies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
Are you wondering how to prosper in our so-called muddle-through economy? Experts say that gold is now the buy of a generation. Hi, I'm Christopher Kent, host of Antique Talk, and I'd like to introduce you to Swiss America, the company that's helping America to rediscover gold. Now, I'm no expert on the economy or on gold, but I am an expert on antiques and collectibles. And Swiss America is the leader in the United States collectible coin market, which has a very impressive track record over the past 30 years. But before you launch out into rare coins, the first step is to get educated. So please, write this number down, 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's BUYCOIN. Ask for a free copy of The New Gold Rush. It'll help you understand this emerging gold rush so you can stake your claim and tell them Christopher Kent told you to call.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by the good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Are you worried that the road less traveled is a dead end?
I feel your pain. It's not easy to be positive and happy and peaceful in a world that's so often negative and filled with war and hatred and SARS, but we can do it together. Join me, Nancy Skinner, for a radio evolution. It's Nancy Skinner's radio Vox Populi, that's Voice of the People. It's a program where people talk about the world around us and the one we want to create.
That's Nancy Skinner's radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Tired of talk radio sounding like a propaganda arm of the Republican Party? Well, so am I. This is Peter Werbe, and I've moved my program to 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time weekdays. Join me as I expose the Grand Oil Party's plans to pay off their corporate paymasters by making this country a permanent warfare state while destroying the environment and attacking the rights of women and working people in the process. So tune by the show, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and join me, Peter Werbe, as we make plans to take back our country. So all you saps out there in the middle class and the working class, even worse, that vote Republican, get what the big capitalists say. They're not working in your interest. They are working in the interest of the financial and ideological base of the Republican Party, which is the ultra-wealthy and the corporations. And they screw you every day. And you, sap that you are, just go and say, well, I'm against abortion or I'm against gun control. I've got to vote for these guys. Shoot.
That was your part of the bargain.
I changed my mind. Pray that I don't change it any further.
This deal's getting worse all the time.
The Peter Werbe Show. 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, Jalene Jordan. Welcome back to this final segment of the broadcast.
Thank you, Peter.
And so I don't know if we ever settled some of these big questions.
I don't either.
Hey, you know, there was...
Big questions today on the show.
Did you see any of this mini-series of Hitler?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I didn't see it either. I mean, I think you ever going to give up on that guy?
Ugh.
Yeah, well, anyway.
Question.
But Phil did. Phil was watching it, and he asked, history repeating itself. Calltalkyes@yahoo.com is where he sent this message into. Right. And he said that tonight is the second part of the early life of Hitler on CBS. Listeners need to hear the similarity between Hitler and what Michael Savage, you know, Michael Weiner, what he has to say. In those days, they had beer halls to discuss right-wing politics, and now we have talk radio. Well, if you want to see the emergence of progressive and liberal talk radio, you can go to our colleague, Tom Hartman's latest article. Do you have that in front of you, Jalene, anymore? Because you had, it's a long title.
I'll get that.
I was just going to do it too, but good, good. Yeah, it's at Common Dreams.
Move on over, right-wing radio. The liberals are coming.
Yeah, commondreams.org. And I like it, the way he properly identifies this network, IE America Radio Network, as, what does he say, the oldest and largest of the progressive networks. And we're broadcasting all across the country, all across the world. And I think it's a matter of this critical mass and its building. All these conservative, not just in ideological sense, but all these conservative station managers that are going, oh, no, I can't get anybody on to the left of Mussolini because I don't even know why.
I might lose that. Advertisers, yeah, people, yeah. I'll lose money.
Interestingly, though, and I should reassure Phil, is that Michael Savage, Michael Weiner, his slogan of culture borders language is very similar to Hitler's blood and soil. So there is that similarity. But if you go to MichaelSavageSucks.com, you'll see that this guy has no ratings whatsoever. Now, they fire. What's his name? From MSNBC.
Phil Donahue.
Phil Donahue. Highest ratings on the station. They put on this loser, Michael Savage, whose ratings are barely below, barely above the radar. And you can go to MichaelSavageSucks.com and see all this information. Well, with all that information, that final piece of information, this is the information station, we could say, right?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jalene Jordan. Thank you,
absolutely.
John Lucas. Thank you to Shar as well, to all of you who have made the program happen. And that includes you listeners and our stations and our cable networks and Sirius Left Channel 145 and whoever I missed. Talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to The Peter Wuerbich Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Now, you go make a difference.
Hi, I'm Steven Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Steven at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius satellite.